much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is exciting.
I got to be honest with you. Right out of the gate, I'm not enjoying myself at all.
It's not a good way to start.
Look, let's just bang this sucker out. We'll be done with it and we go on with our lives.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Who is this guy? Thinks he's psycho? What's he, Mr. I'm psycho? Like he's that Halloween show psycho? And he likes the gays?
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
And now.
That is pure, raw, natural talent. That there's nothing forced, there's nothing pushed, it is just raw, natural talent. And I am so glad you're here today.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Welcome to you, too.
What's happening?
What'd you think of the open, Kevin?
Very funny.
Really?
Funnier than ever, yeah.
And you heard how much of it?
And now our feature presentation.
There you go. That's what I thought. Yeah. That was hilarious. What do? You just throw everything you own against the wall as
pretty
you
much
run by the studio door? Okay.
Pretty much, yeah. I thought I had another.
And Mike gives him the, come on,
Mike
come
gives
on,
me
come
the,
on,
come on, come on, hurry up signal. So then I know, oh, no, it's just about over. Can you start that later?
No, actually.
Okay.
That's, you got to start on time. So.
Okay.
Well, it is a new program. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 5th of the January. Here's a great story. We've talked from time to time. We do this phone topic from time to time about people who ask style.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I always love it. I've done it more than anyone I know. I've asked Al, generally my wife, for whatever reason. And I don't know how I asked Al, because, you know, I have an iPhone and you have to kind of open up the lock screen in order to get to the phone number. So I don't even understand how it happens.
Maybe you have a very talented ass.
Well, it's possible. The dreaded back pocket phone dial was in the news yesterday. It caused some chaos in the Chicago suburb of Winnetka when a man accidentally phoned his wife and the background noise led her to believe that he was being held hostage. You know how you sit on your phone when it's in your back pocket and calls the last number that was dialed? His wife was the last number he dialed, said the Winnetka police chief, telling the Chicago Tribune. The conversation led her to believe there was someone holding him hostage. She heard her husband's muffled voice and called 911 around 5 o'clock, reporting a hostage situation at the Carlton Washburn School where her husband works. And here's the part that I love so much. She could hear music. It was hip-hop music.
Yeah.
The lyrics were gangster-like.
Right.
And she didn't think that sounded like something her husband would listen to.
Right.
So she figured the Negroes got him or something, and she had to call 911.
Oh, please.
So she hears this muffled conversation. She hears this hip-hop music going on. She's going, oh, my God, they got him. What am I going to do?
What?
How awesome is that? She heard lyrics on the radio as he was driving home. She listened to it and became concerned. So members of the Illinois Law Enforcement Alarm System, the Lake County SWAT team, and other law enforcement authorities responded to the school and set up a perimeter. They put on bulletproof vests, shields, and machine guns, and about 30 officers searched the building before realizing it was a false alarm.
Wow.
That's a hell of a response.
Her in jail for that.
Well, I guess she had an active imagination. In retrospect, you can see why, you know, it's stupid, obviously.
Sir, please come out. We know that you've been listening to rap music.
Right, exactly.
We've got the building surrounded.
So, of course, the butt dialer says that he was embarrassed by the whole situation. It was just a misunderstanding, so there aren't going to be any charges or anything like that.
It's not his fault. It's her fault.
But how crazy.
What kind of leap of faith is that to go from I hear rap music to they must have him? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, I'm down with her because I always believe, based on the sketchiest information, that the worst possible thing has happened.
That's your way, right? Yeah.
That's the way I go. Like if you know, my wife's supposed to be somewhere and it's 10 minutes late, I go, well, she's dead. There's no way she's coming back from that. Clearly, she's gone.
That's how Bean is. Every time a guest shows up late, he's like, wow, something bad must have happened. No, maybe it was just an average day where you're kind of running behind. No. He gets really upset. But no, what I'm talking about is the woman's racism. I mean, the woman that thinks she hears 30 seconds of a rap song and goes, they've got him. That woman right there needs to go to jail.
I would agree with you, except
although
maybe
then they'd have her.
Right, then they'd have her, right. Maybe she knows her husband better than we do. I'm just suggesting that maybe she never knew him to listen to rap music. And it was maybe all he ever listened to was the Dave Matthews Band. And then all of a sudden, he's got some hip-hop going. And she's, you know, wait, my husband's not listening to Lil Wayne. What's happening here? I can understand why it would be confusing if you never knew him to listen to that music.
I hear Jay-Z. What? He must have. No, but.
And maybe she's thinking he tried to dial her, and this is like him trying to get the message to her. Get help.
Get help. You know, I don't listen to this music. That's ridiculous. The strongest response that should have happened was later when she said, hey, you were listening to rap music. That's different. Like, that's the strongest thing that should have happened. No 911 call, nothing.
It does seem like we're all familiar enough with butt dialing that ought to be your first guess, which is he didn't mean to call me. He accidentally dialed because clearly nobody's talking to me.
Right. And then she could be suspicious of where he is if she hears something that's so out of the ordinary.
But what if he were kidnapped? Is she not the greatest wife ever?
No, that's dumb.
Good point,
Lisa. She saved him.
That's just dumb.
It could be. It could.
And by the way, the last thing I'll say before we move on is it's interesting that the wife gets the call. She hears the hip hop music and she thinks kidnapping, not strip club, which is the conclusion that I would expect her to draw.
Yeah, there's a lot of other. Of course, there's a lot of other conclusions you should come to, and one of them would be strip club. That would have to be high on the list.
Yeah.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Autumn to the stage. Welcome Autumn to the stage. So anyway, that's wow.
Good times.
Wow. That's crazy. Let me have a look at the schedule there, Mike. I don't have a schedule. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Bum, bum, bum.
There's a psychic named Shar Margolis, and she's BS.
We're just going to come right out and say it.
Look, psychics, BS.
People love her, though.
That's the thing.
That's the point.
So most of the time we do stuff for us. Most of the time, it's a hot chick or something, and we have the conversation. You know, people don't know who she is or whatever, and we go, we don't care.
She's hot.
She's hot. Let's have her in.
Right.
So this is for you, because we don't believe in this. I don't. Bean doesn't. Do you, Lisa?
No.
Okay. But the phones light up for days. People will be calling through the weekend for her.
And people in 20 seconds start bawling like a baby because they believe that this woman is talking to their dad on the other side or something, too, sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it's nutty.
I think people believe in astrologers and psychics just because they want to.
Yeah, I think so, too. They just need more hope. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever.
It'd be cool if it did work, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It always seems like they, A, tell you things that you already know. And B, make it vague enough that you can fill in all the blanks with your own information. So they're not really doing anything.
You got this month. I'm telling you what, there's a month this year with a vowel in it that's going to be great for you.
Right.
All right. Thanks for calling.
And then the person goes, oh my God, I can't believe it. July's coming up.
That is a vowel in it.
That's great. All right. Also, would you like to take that back on the program today?
There it is.
Always like that. That's where we get a second chance. We play a tape from the past week or two.
Yes.
Of one of us trying to be funny. And for the most part, we're not. So we get a second chance. Would you like to take that back coming up today? We're going to talk about Taylor Swift. She is a strange, strange little childishly mean girl.
Awesome goddess of country music, yes.
She's hot, Bean, yes.
But she writes all her own songs.
Yeah.
Yes, she does.
And they're all about boys that did her wrong. And they're getting more
country music.
They're getting more and more. Do you have that clip? Being they're getting more and more childish.
I do. This last album, that by the way is the number one album in America again this week. I think it has been for 5 weeks now. Taylor's been at number one. She won the Album of the Year Grammy for her last album. I mean, she's enormously popular. But all the songs are about guys that she's dated. And I don't know who the victim was in this one, but some schmuck went out with her, and this is what she wrote about him afterward.
All you are is vain and a liar and pathetic.
Tell you don't stand up Taylor Swift or whatever happened there.
Was she in second grade? And mean. What should I put after that? And mean. That's ridiculous.
And you're a doo-doo head.
And you're saying she has the number one album.
Yes, she does.
Wow. One of our favorites, Kristen Shaw, will be on the program today. Love her.
Oh, she's great.
Always funny.
Comedian, actress, probably best known from Flight of the Conchords. She's been in a bunch of movies, too. She's very funny.
Is it okay to cheer for Michael Vick? Some people, I believe the answer is going to be forever. No.
Yeah.
Just that's it. They've written him off, even though he did his time in
jail.
He's
a terrible human being.
Yeah.
He is. No, I'm saying that. He's a terrible human being. Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to talk about that. And we have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Oh.
Very excited about that.
He's
so
not a hack.
He's talking about Celebrity Rehab, which is a fascinating show. So we have that coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman joins us. Time now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. How are you, Ralph?
Good. Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some passes to give away to an event we've been talking about all week. A very cool thing. If you've never been to a Hollywood premiere before, here's your chance. This is the world premiere of a movie called The Green Hornet, starring Seth Green as the Green Hornet and Jay Chow as Kato.
Hey!
It's all happening.
Wait, this isn't the Seth Rogen movie? Have I been confused this whole time?
Did I say Seth Green?
Yeah.
Sorry, Seth Rogen. Of course,
okay,
it's Seth Rogen. Yes.
Gotcha.
Grauman's Chinese Theater, January the 10th.
2011!
It's in theaters Friday, January the 14th, of course.
2011!
But if you're the first, let's say caller number 5 right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you're the fifth caller through, you will get a pair of passes to attend the world premiere of The Green Hornet. So it should be a very cool event happening.
Make a wish. Monday. It's 2011.
Yes, okay. Everyone make a wish.
Yeah.
Because it's just like your birthday.
I'm not even a comic book fan, really, and this looks great.
Green Hornet, not so much a comic book superhero, oddly enough. Started out on radio. It was a popular series in the 60s. There have been comic book versions, but it wasn't like the character was created in comic books.
Oh, who knew?
Started out as a radio show.
All right.
Invented by the guy who invented the Lone Ranger for radio, believe it or not. So it's got a long, long pedigree. 1936, I think, is when it first appeared. So
all right.
The character's been around for a long time.
Too much info. Sorry I brought it up.
Now, Kevin Smith has a very popular series of Green Hornet comics right now that are in comic book stores.
He's writing them, you mean?
Well, here's the funny thing. When they first decided to make a Green Hornet movie, they went to Kevin and asked him to write and direct the film.
Right.
So he wrote the script. Decided he didn't want to direct, but just gave them the script. They held on to it for a while. You know how these things are when they're being developed. There's a bunch of different actors who were being thought of as to play the Green Hornet. And eventually that script got put by the wayside, and they went with another script. In fact, Seth Rogen and his partner, Evan Goldberg, wrote the script for this film. So there's this cool script for a Green Hornet movie that no one's ever going to see or make. So what Kevin did was he turned it over to Dynamite, the name of the comic book company, and had them do a comic book series based on his screenplay. So it's basically like seeing the Green Hornet movie that Kevin Smith would have made if it ever happened, but now it's just in comic
book. That's interesting.
So,
and it's going to be nothing like the movie.
There's a lot of similarities. I mean, same characters, of course, and same premises. But in Kevin's version, Kato is a smoking hot Asian chick.
All right.
Oh, nice.
She's the daughter of the original Kato.
How do you not? That seems
perfect.
That's
what I'm saying. That's the movie I want to see.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I'm sure this one is very good, too. So you can check that out. Speaking of Kevin Smith, we do the show every Friday, the Hollywood Babylon Show at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal. A lot of people have been asking about the show next week, and it turns out we are doing one this Friday.
Right.
Next week, we're doing it on Saturday night.
Okay.
So if you're looking for the show on the following weekend, it is Saturday night after Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller's going to be there first.
What?
Oh, cool.
At 8 o'clock. And then we're doing the late show. We're doing the 10 o'clock to midnight
show. That is not a smart move.
To what? Have Dennis Miller open for us?
Don't follow somebody that's great.
He's going to open for us, you know. Yeah. We need to give him the guy a break. We need to give the kid a shot. I think he's talented. I think he's got a future.
You want somebody up there that... You want me up there.
So what?
Can't get a joke out, tell it wrong. Everybody's dying for somebody good.
We don't want the club to close.
And then you come on.
We'd like it to stay open. We want them to do well. We don't want you up there. Oh, I'd love to see you doing stand-up. What if I pay you just to get up there from, say, just for an hour?
Think I couldn't?
The problem is Kevin would be at the improv.
That's true.
Where's everybody for my show?
How dare you?
I'm at the wrong comedy club.
But I would kill it.
We need a party bus. Who's going to party bus?
It's funny, by the way, Ralph. You said get you up there just for an hour, as if 5 minutes isn't terrifying enough when you're on stage doing comedy.
Yeah.
An hour is an eternity.
It's good times. Let's celebrate the anniversary of Wheel of Fortune, shall we?
Yeah!
You know, Wheel of Fortune debuted on television on this day 36 years ago.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
That's insane, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's been around forever, but in reality, it's been around forever.
It has. Who would have ever thought that people would not grow tired of that show?
Yeah, no kidding.
I guess people never get tired of playing Hangman.
Yeah.
I guess. Same staff? I mean, has Sajak always been the host?
No. Chuck Woolery was the original host of
the
Wheel of Fortune. And then Pat took over a couple years later. But
and there's that famous piece of audio from that show. I think it was Chuck Woolery that was
hosting. Yeah, they were trying to figure out that clue?
Yeah.
The category is people who annoy you.
Okay.
Category is people who annoy you.
Now,
Now, the letters up there are N,
mm-hmm.
blank,
right?
G-G-E-R-S.
Mm-hmm. Oh, N blank, G-G-E-R-S.
Audience, keep quiet, please.
Well,
10 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
I know it, but I don't think I should say it.
5 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
All right, I'd like to solve the puzzle. Niggers!
Wow.
Huh?
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, naggers, of course.
Yeah.
Naggers.
Naggers. Naggers annoy you. That's the obvious answer.
It's a great moment in Wheel of Fortune history.
Yeah.
It really is.
I think that's when Chuck quit, and then Pat took over after that episode. He had a breakdown. You know, they're talking about the new Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It was a feature film with Christy Swanson, then became a very wildly popular TV show with mm-hmm. Sarah Michelle Gellar. Now it's going to back to be on the big screen, and they're talking about who will take over the role as Buffy, the high school cheerleader slash vampire slayer. And the rumor now has it that Heather Morris is in talks to play Buffy. You may not know that name, but she plays Brittany on Glee.
Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting casting.
I like her.
Glee cast doing a lot of movies and stuff now that that show is so popular. So she's in talks. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. That would be cool.
She's a good actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't think that character is necessarily Buffy-esque, but maybe she's got more to offer. I like to think so. You know who doesn't have more to offer? Snooki.
Yeah.
Snooki doesn't have more to offer. That's all she's got.
She's been out for a while.
However, you'll be happy to know that she is... got a book coming out.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah. She admittedly has only read 2 books in her entire life.
What's that possible?
So now she has written half as many books as she's read.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. Only books she's ever read, she says, are Twilight and Dear John. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Wow.
Her book is entitled A Sure Thing. S-H-O-R-E.
Sure.
See?
How about that?
She talks about boning guys, basically.
Right.
This guy tasted like fresh gorilla, she says in one passage. Any juice head will get some nut shrinkage and bacne. Then they fly into roid rage. It is a roid rage.
What?
Yeah.
How does she know what gorilla tastes like, first of all?
Well... Then she talks about being with one of her friends. Gia danced around a little, shaking her peaches for show. She shook it hard, too hard. In the middle of a shimmy, her stomach cramped. A fart slipped out.
Oh, my God.
A loud one. And stinky.
Come on now, Pulitzer.
She has a gift.
So, just to make sure I'm current, Ralph, so Mark Twain being censored and banned all over America. Snooki available everywhere.
Yeah, you don't want to ban a genius.
Okay, gotcha.
And yesterday, more damning evidence in the preliminary hearing to determine if Dr. Conrad Murray should be put on trial for involuntary manslaughter. They were talking to one of Michael's bodyguards, Alberto Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
They put him up on the stand.
Those guys have secrets, don't you think?
The bodyguards?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Amongst the secrets that this gentleman has is he claims in court that... Conrad Murray ordered him to pack up and get rid of any and all vials of medicine and intravenous bags that were in the room before anyone called 911 when Michael died.
Oh, man.
Seems incriminating, doesn't it?
That doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
Maybe he's just tidy.
Alberto said when he came into the room, Michael was still hooked up to an IV tube and had a urinary catheter. Alberto said that Michael's eyes and mouth were open and Dr. Conrad Murray was trying to revive him with one-handed chest compressions. Use two hands, Doc.
He was cleaning up the bedside table with his other hand.
Too busy burning evidence.
Did he go to bed every night with an IV catheter?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Must have.
Oh, my God.
Look, if you're knocked unconscious and you have to have a catheter in order to urinate, or else you're going to wet the bed.
Those are extreme lengths to go to sleep every night, boys.
He wasn't that big. It wasn't extreme length. It's an average length from what I understand. Yeah. Talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Malcolm Young of AC/DC.
There it is.
Legendary rock guitarist is 58 years old today. Actor, comedian Rowan Atkinson, very funny Brit. He plays famously Mr. Bean, amongst other roles that he's played, 56 years old today. Director John Singleton celebrates his 43rd birthday. And actor Danny Pintaro.
Yeah.
Who's he?
That was just for Mike. He was on, what's the, Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss?
Yeah, he played the youngest kid on Who's the Boss.
And he had a pivotal role on Will and Grace.
Didn't care what he was on Who's the Boss.
He paid for it in auction.
That was pivotal, yes. He's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm just looking at the, catching the recap of the People's Choice Award winners from last night. Did you guys know that was on?
What?
The People's Choice Awards was on last night?
It was?
No.
That's the show where they give you an award just for showing up. That's and by the way, anything that, as we've often said on this program, anything that the people decide is BS.
This is weird because really our job is to kind of keep up on current, you know, pop culture.
Right.
We didn't even know it was on.
It's the lowest rung of award shows.
No, I'm not saying we would have done anything with it had we known.
Because it's crap.
Just saying we should know.
All I know is Twilight won for Best Movie. That tells you everything you need to know about the People's Choice Awards, right?
It tells you the age group.
Yes, Twilight. Yeah. Love it. That's a it does tell you about the age group that votes or whatever.
Yeah.
What the hell?
What is
going on?
What? Hello. I am the Green Hornet. I demand that you give me tickets to the premiere of Green Hornet.
Roland, how do you get on the air all the time?
I simply hack into your audio vault.
Well, that's
quite
not
simple.
That's,
your firewalls really need some support.
Well, that has to be illegal, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't have to be, but sometimes it is.
But it scares me that a guy living in his mom's basement can just get on the radio whenever he wants.
I am the Green Hornet.
You're not the Green Hornet.
I hunt the most dangerous of all game, American criminals, with my sidekick Kato and the Black Beauty. I fight crime.
You don't do any of that. You live in your mom's basement.
Central City. In real life, I am actually publisher Britt Reed of the Daily Sentinel.
You're not that either.
Millionaire newspaper publisher.
All right, here's
Those
the deal,
days
though.
Are gone.
Yeah, they sure are. No kidding. Ralph is giving, you know, Ralph Garman, our buddy on the show.
Yes,
here, who does,
I know he won't give me tickets.
Oh, you've already asked him, because I was going to say, he's the answer, because he has tickets to give away every hour during the showbiz beat.
He's the answer, but what's the question? What I always ask.
Well, the thing is that we have rules we have to abide by.
The Green Hornet.
Right. How long have you been looking forward to this movie?
For about 23 years.
Right. How old are you?
I'm 24 years old.
Roland, forgive my ignorance on this topic, but have they ever made a Green Hornet movie before?
They edited together a bunch of episodes from the 1966 series starring Van Williams and Bruce Lee. And called it a feature film, but never an actual feature film.
Oh,
no.
I see.
That doesn't sound good. You've seen the trailers. How does this one look?
Looks awesome, and that's why you have to give me tickets.
Oh.
Okay, well, again, we try to make it fair for everybody. That's why we give them away on
fair?
The air.
Give the tickets to someone who knows something about the Green Hornet.
Well, yeah, that would be nice.
Do you know what station originally carried the Green Hornet on January 31st, 1936?
Does that matter what station carried it?
WXYZ!
That's a radio station?
Yes, it was a radio station in Detroit, Michigan.
Why do we need to know that?
They originated its companion show, The Lone Ranger, by the way.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. How about that?
Now give me tickets.
You don't get tickets for that.
Oh, if you don't, I will put on my cape, and then I will become the cape. Yes, I am the cape.
Is that right?
Secret crime fighter.
You're going to put on the cape?
Yes.
Wow, don't scare us with that.
You guys see V the other night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, V was awesome. They showed you the lizard's faces.
Yes.
Yeah.
I taped it, but I'm not quite caught up on that one yet.
You actually watch it?
I do.
I can't believe you watch something that's good.
Yeah, I'm cool now, right?
Yeah, now you're cool.
We're cool.
Yeah. Let's get together and hang out. What do you say?
Nope.
Come over to the basement. We can watch my Doctor Who box set.
You know, that sounds inviting, but I'm busy.
Who's your favorite Doctor Who?
I don't know.
Most people say Tom Baker, but I'm a David Tennant man myself.
I don't know the different
Look,
names.
Roland,
the Green Hornet!
Right.
We kind of have to get back to the show, but Ralph will have more of those tickets for you in less than an hour if you just want to stand by with your phone and get ready to call.
I can't wallow through your program just to win tickets.
Look,
just give me the tickets now and I can go listen to Big Boy.
You're a Big Boy fan, are you?
Yeah, what? No.
What's your favorite song?
Oh, I like the one that black guy sings.
Oh, that's a good one.
The guns and the money.
That's
right. Oh, I love that one. I'm just kidding. Black people scare me.
Oh, Roland.
Everyone scares Roland.
That's true.
He lives in his mom's basement.
My mom doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes.
How about other girls? I bet they scare you.
Listen, I'm quite the ladies' man.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Yes. In fact, just the other day, some guy called me a lady.
But you don't ever have women come over to your mom's house. And
I try.
Hang out. Wait, but you don't.
They come over, but sometimes then they come too.
Oh, I see. Once they regain consciousness.
After it
yeah.
wears off. Oh, yeah. And then they tend to leave again right away.
That's not good.
Wow, I didn't realize we had so much in common. Well,
can
all right, listen.
Duct tape?
No.
All right, we all have right. to go. We absolutely have to go.
Just
but good
send
luck with winning
to my house, then.
Well, it's not going to work like that, but good
the
luck.
Green Hornet.
Hey, okay. Roland, if you can hack through our system now, why don't you hack through when Ralph is giving away tickets?
Don't think I won't.
Oh.
Don't challenge me, bitch.
Okay, I'm just saying. Sing it to your nuts. I know he says that. I heard it. That's my my Chemical Romance, and it is Sing. This is the world-famous K-Rock at 619.
By the way, you mocked me for staying home on New Year's Eve and watching TV, but My Chemical Romance was on the Carson Daly Show on NBC, and they were great. They performed that song and one other, too.
They're really, really great. And you can tape it.
What's up, Taylor Swift's butt? That's coming up on today's Kevin Abee Show. Comedian, actress Kristen Schaal will be joining us. Dr. Drew will be here, too, and psychic Shar Margolis. You are listening to the Kevin Abee Show. Our friend Psycho Mike, the guy you hear cackling in the back of the room, also has another job, another full-time job. He is the co-host of Loveline, which airs across this great country of ours with Dr. Drew. And, man, you've had some great guests on the show lately, Mike, and I know you had a lot of fun with Janice Dickinson the other night. How was that?
She was awesome. On a scale of 1 to 10, if you're measuring radio guests, Janice Dickinson, 15.
You know why? Same reason Courtney Love. There's no, there's zero filter.
Yes.
So whatever she thinks, she says. Everybody else that's in the showbiz world, they all have to process it and think, how do they want to be perceived and what's the PR angle and the spin?
Who am I going to tick off if I say this?
People like Janice Dickinson, just say it.
Yeah, and Abby, that's a good analogy to mention Courtney Love because they're both women who have lived so much life. That they just, they're beyond caring. They don't care what other people think of them. Yeah. So what, I outed this guy. So what, I outed this broad about her drug problem. She doesn't care. She's been through the ringer.
Yeah.
Now, Janice Dickinson, most people probably know from America's Next Top Model. She was a judge on that show for a couple seasons. But she was a model. I mean, basically, she was one of the biggest models in the world back in the 70s and 80s. She's 55 years old now, by the way. She looks unbelievable.
She does.
When I watch her on Celebrity Rehab, I can't believe especially how great her body is for 55 years old. But
That's not how I'm struck.
Really?
Really?
Not really. She looks good for a 55-year-old.
No, she looks exceptional for 55.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, she does.
She really does. Yeah.
Like Bean's right, especially her body. It's ridiculous.
So she was the height of her super model powers, though, were in the 70s and 80s. This is when she slept with all these celebrities?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And
how did this come up, Michael? I mean, did you just say, "Hey, Janice Dickinson, who have you banged?"
Well, you guys know me.
Of course he did.
You guys know me. It's only a matter of time. If you hang out with me for any discernible amount of time, I'm going to start talking about penis. I mean, like that's my
go-to.
That's
true, and it's a little troubling.
We actually were talking about the Rolling Stones and music and stuff that was unrelated. And out of the blue, she starts getting into how she had a long relationship with Mick Jagger, and he is not. He does not have something to be proud of in his pants. She just gave us
really?
That info.
Here's a clip.
It all went to his lips?
Yes.
And you would think, too, because he's such a huge, one of the world's biggest rock stars.
And sex symbol.
And sex, well, I guess, and sex
kind
symbol.
Kind of, yeah.
But this is what she has to say. It's very brief, but it's very damning as well. This is Janice Dickinson talking about Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger. Little wiener.
Oh!
Way little wiener. Been there, done that.
God.
Pinky.
Size and of a pinky.
She went on to really compare it to her pinky. And she said, off the air, we got into a discussion, because I was fascinated as a music fan. She says, and she sincerely believes this, that the reason that Keith and Mick always kind of had tension was because Keith was huge and would proudly brandish his wiener, and Mick was very, very, very small.
You know what's
Isn't
funny,
that
though,
interesting?
If he wasn't a rock star and you saw him on the street, you would and you had to guess, you'd probably think pretty small because he's skinny and slight.
Right.
And
right.
He's not a big guy.
And hideous.
And ugly.
Yeah.
But I know you're going to mock me for this, but in the 60s and 70s, he was one of the biggest sex symbols in the world. Just considered gorgeous.
No,
gorgeous.
Yes. Absolutely.
He was considered gorgeous?
He was. He was hot.
Hot, fine.
Yeah.
I don't use the word gorgeous for guys.
I'm with you, Kevin.
Ever. Thank you. Okay. So Mick Jagger, small, very small, she says. So then Mike follows up with what I think is a great question, which is, who's the opposite of that?
Who that we would know has the biggest wiener?
Liam Neeson. When he unzipped his pants, an Avian bottle fell out. The earth shook.
Liam Neeson.
Now, we've heard that before. Once in a while, Ralph will do one of those lists of the most endowed men in Hollywood, and Liam Neeson is always on the list, but now it's been confirmed. How about that?
She dated him around the Darkman era, she was telling me, and she said all ladies can relate to this feeling, that when she first saw it, she was hesitant to then follow through with having sex
with
him. That was how big it was.
It was scary?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
He doesn't, now you see him walking down the street, he's not a movie star. You wouldn't size him up as being huge either.
That's right.
He's a big guy, though.
Well, yeah, he's average.
He carries himself on.
That might be potential there.
He carries himself on screen with a certain level of confidence, and I always wondered where that came from.
Now I know. Now I know. All right, so this is Psycho Mike talking about Love Line. He had Janice Dickinson on. She was talking about celebrities that she's had sex with. Boy, imagine if you're, people must have, I mean, how many women has Mick Jagger slept with? There could be
hundreds and hundreds.
Millions of people out there to verify the size problem. All right, so who's the biggest? That's Liam Neeson. And then she goes on to mention somebody else who was quite well endowed.
Warren Beatty wasn't bad.
Warren Beatty wasn't bad. There was a time when Warren Beatty also, being correct me if I'm wrong, was the ladies' man who slept with everyone.
In fact, Hollywood, the world was shocked when he decided to get married because he was such a notorious ladies' man. I mean, he had a different woman every night, and then he settled down with Annette Bening, and, well, we don't know how that's going. There's still rumors that's not going well, but you know what I'm saying.
She expanded on that a little bit off the air. She said he definitely earns his reputation for being, like, the world's greatest lover. He was so
romantic.
That's
what they say, yeah.
It's not about the size. It's what he is.
It's everything involved, yeah. Okay. He's the whole package in bed.
All right. So Mick Jagger, Pinky. Liam Neeson, water bottle. Warren Beatty, not bad.
Not bad.
A tender lover.
You want to hear about Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
Because what would you guess?
I'm guessing not much.
I think I would guess kind of small. If you've ever seen Sylvester Stallone in person, it is a little surprising how small he is.
Yes.
Because you think, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or whoever, he's going to be a monster.
And how unbelievably muscular he is. Like veiny, ripped, super jacked, and 5'7". It's both so shocking.
And don't you think at some point, compensation?
Yeah.
When they go that far into being muscular?
Maybe he needs that many muscles just to hold it up. Yeah. You know, who knows?
Okay, well, let's find
out. I also think, which is something I admire, that he would be more into himself in bed than he would be the ladies. Like, he'd have mirrors to look at his, like, massive six-pack.
Not to look at her.
No.
Right. Yeah. No question.
Which is sweet.
She talks about Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone. He's larger than Mick, but he's smaller than Jack Nicholson.
All right, so larger than Mick Jagger, which doesn't seem like that's much.
Yeah. Right.
But smaller than Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, now she's just starting to play Oscar winner Mad Libs, where she's throwing out, like, famous actors that she slept with. It's unbelievable.
Because we're supposed to know what Jack Nicholson looks like.
Did she give us any information on Nicholson, or did she just refer to him as...
On the air, she just said that, you know, she had slept with him, and then I talked to her. She said he's like, really kind of crazy in a good way. Like, you really don't... That image that we all have of Jack Nicholson, that unpredictability, that kind of that psycho that lives beneath...
Something he could do something at any moment that would shock us all, it wouldn't shock us because it comes from him.
Correct, Moon. Yeah, that excitement was always there with Jack Nicholson.
But size? Did you get any?
Nah, she just said. I mean, it seems like it was very average. Yes, Lisa.
So Sylvester Stallone, if it seems average, Jack Nicholson is average, and he's smaller than average, but not quite as small as Mick Jagger.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm thinking that, you know, she said that she had outed Mick Jagger for his small wiener a long time ago in a book that she had written. And I've never heard Mick Jagger come forward and defend himself, so I'm thinking this is probably true information.
I don't know how do you defend yourself, though? You go, hey, she
said... The only way you could do it is put it on the table.
That's correct.
That's right.
Put it on the glass. It's the only way.
Straight up.
So I'm not sure how you could refute that.
I know that I'm now on my quest to sleep with Oscar winners, because it sounded so awesome.
But these were all guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, good.
Hey, party people, this is the Kevin Beach Show. More tickets for the Green Hornet every single hour for you in Ralph Showbiz Beat. That is coming up. Dr. Drew on the show today and comedian Christine. Is it Kristen? Kristen Schaal.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Interesting story. We always, in the line of work that we're in, we pay particular attention to anything involving the Federal Communications Commission because they are a burr on our butt. Let's face it, every time we open up the microphone, we run the risk of some enormous fine from something that one person somewhere may find offensive, even though the vast majority of people may have no problem with it. And that's the difficult thing about being a broadcaster these days. And it has been through the court process and now the appeals process, and a very significant ruling was overturned this week.
Oh, so good to see. And it was from NYPD Blue. It was a 2003 episode. And there's
that's
a
insane.
Woman on the show named Charlotte Ross playing the character Connie McDowell. And apparently she was getting out of the shower or something, and you saw her butt for a couple of seconds. Mm-hmm. So the FCC said, that's indecent, we're going to fine every... And here's what they do. They don't fine ABC the company. They fine every ABC station in every city that plays it separately.
That's right. That's right.
So it worked out to be $1 million, and they've been fighting it since 2003.
So that means, by the way, if you're the Cincinnati affiliate for ABC, even though nobody watching may have been offended right. by it, you still get the fine because somebody somewhere else wrote a letter to the FCC complaining about it.
That makes no sense. And what are you supposed to do about it anyway as an individual station?
Listen, I don't know.
Pre-watch everything and then edit it?
Here's the problem, and don't get us wrong, we understand there have to be some limits, but the FCC has made everything so vague that they can just interpret it however they want to interpret it, and that's super frustrating, and our company will sit with us and go, you understand the rules, they're clear, and we say, no, they're not clear.
You don't know them, and we don't know
so
them.
So now the second, let's see, where's the, which court was it, being the second,
second Circuit?
Second U.S. Court of Appeals in Manhattan. Has said that the rules are unconstitutionally vague.
So you would think that everybody would be happy about that, but no, along comes Tim Winter, the president of the Parents Television Council. They're the ones who generally file the complaints anytime they see a hint of boob on any TV show.
And by the way, just for the record, they send out a form letter to all of their people.
Right.
It's one letter, and everybody just sends them in, and the FCC goes, oh, we're getting flooded with complaints when it's really just one group.
Right. Here's Mr. Winter's statement. Children and families are the real victims today. This ruling will only serve to embolden the networks to air even more graphic material. So Tim is not happy, but he is a man enough to come on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're very excited to welcome from the Parents Television Council, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Winter on the phone. Hi, Mr. Winter. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Good.
How are you today?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me on your show.
No problem.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, absolutely nothing fleeting or accidental about it. You think it was lengthy and ogling, intended to pander and titillate.
Oh, the children. Oh, the children and families are real victims now.
Because
now every network is going to air this filth and disgusting perversion, and the children are going to be harmed. Oh, the children.
I don't think. First of all, the kids have seen butts.
Yeah, they totally know about butts.
No, they haven't. Not in my house they have, and maybe in your perverse, disgusting home. I have not. I've been married for 31 years, and I've never even seen my own wife's butt.
Well, that's interesting.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
We have sex to a tarp.
Really?
With a hole in it.
Now, is
the... Children.
Let's talk about the children. How many kids, honestly, do you think were watching NYPD Blue when it was airing?
At 10 p.m., right?
Yeah. It was 10 p.m. on the East and West Coast.
Right.
But in the Central and Mountain regions, it was 9 p.m. when most children are up watching hard-nosed police dramas.
That's what they watch, do they?
Yes, the kids love it.
Yeah.
You ever seen NYPD Barney?
No, I can't say that I even know about that.
It doesn't exist, really.
But no. I'm saying children could be up, and then next thing they see a butt, and the next thing you know, they think everybody has a butt.
Okay, everybody does have a butt, first of all, Mr.
True.
Wait a minute.
I had my removed because my own butt offended me so.
Wow.
And my children have never seen a butt and never will because I've had them hermetically sealed in bubble wrap.
Oh, wow. That sounds uncomfortable. But listen, it's not like this was a graphic, steamy sex scene. They weren't watching Black Swan on their TV, okay? It was just a woman getting out of the shower. That was it, and it was just from the rear.
I don't care if Swan is African-American or Caucasian. All I know is that you need to not show butts on television. And it's even worse that it's not a sex scene because it shows a woman naked in a bathroom. Next thing they'll be telling me, everyone goes to the bathroom.
Well, of course,
disgusting,
obviously.
Disgusting perversion, all of the children.
No, that's
all
just
the children.
That's just natural. That's just life.
You know what else is natural?
What?
Jesus.
Okay.
Why isn't more shows have Jesus on the air?
Well, I mean, I think there are plenty that do.
No, there are not plenty that do, sir. I would beg to differ.
Okay.
Of all the popular television programs, mainly watched by youths. There's a distinct lack of religious instruction and the presence of Jesus in their hearts and minds.
Well, I would suggest that perhaps that's the parents' role and the church's role.
I would suggest it's television's role.
Wow.
To teach the children right from wrong. Instead of Jersey Shore, why don't we have Jesus Shore, where Jesus lives in a house in New Jersey with a bunch of
screwed up Italian kids.
Yeah.
I would actually watch that.
And then he walks on the water by the shore, and they go, oh, that's PTL right there.
Does Jesus have the shirt before the shirt?
You know, he's got the shroud before the shroud, though.
Okay, all right.
How about instead of Glee, we have Gleesus.
That doesn't even...
Jesus starts a Glee club in high school, and they all sing hallelujah songs. Instead of Dancing with the Stars, why don't we have Praying with the Stars?
These shows would not get any people watching, though.
Instead of House, how about House of God? Or instead of a cranky old doctor saving people, it's a cranky old priest saving people in the church. Mm. And he's got a cane, he goes,
These all sound like terrible ideas.
They're wonderful ideas. You're just saying that because you're perverse and disgusting and full of evil.
That's possible. But
oh, the children. Why don't we have more shows about puppies?
Well, people don't want to watch shows about
puppies. Everybody loves puppies. Look at these puppies. Oh, they're so cute and filled with the spirit of God and Jesus and puppies.
They do sound cute. They do sound cute.
Oh, yes. Oh, let's put puppies on television 24 hours a day.
Wow.
Mr. Winter, don't they have butts, though?
Stop barking.
What?
Stop it. Kick this damn dog.
Oh, no, don't do that. What are you doing? Come on.
They're so annoying sometimes with their yapping, like my children.
Oh,
well,
no.
Maybe you should write a strongly worded letter to the FCC then.
Oh, the children.
Quick reminder, you definitely want to bookmark or favorite KevinandBean.com. We're putting new stuff up all the time, pictures of the day, photos from the show, podcasts. By the way, the number one most viewed page on KevinandBean.com right now is entitled Kevin is a Dick. And I think that tells you pretty much everything you need to know.
How dare you?
You definitely want to check out that story and weigh in with your thoughts on what happened yesterday. All right, Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean show. What's happening, Ralph?
Before we get to the Showbiz news, I've got some passes to give away. To the red carpet world premiere of The Green Hornet. It's happening at Grauman's Chinese Theater on January the 10th. That's Monday night.
2011!
How much of 2011 will it take you to get that right, do you think? What's your guess?
Most of? I'd say August.
Around November, you're going to clean it up?
I'd say August.
In theaters everywhere, Friday, January the 14th.
2011!
But you'll get to see it before anybody else. If you're lucky, caller number 5 right now. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Get your pair of passes to the world premiere of The Green Hornet. I even like those commercials where Green Hornet and Kato go to Taco Bell. Whatever
you blow it
is,
up.
And they blow it up.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's awesome. Damon Lindelof, creator of Lost, mentioned, he was the first place I heard it, that people were using Hurley's lottery numbers to choose their numbers for Tuesday night's Mega Millions drawing, where two people shared over $355 million.
The Lost numbers.
Yeah. If you chose 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, and 42, those were Hurley's numbers, you won $150.
Bad.
Over 9,000 people used those numbers, and they made a couple.
Over 9,000 people
made a couple bucks. I wonder how. The only reason we're talking about it is because people actually won with those numbers. Yeah. I wonder how many people a week use those numbers on a regular basis. They can cash in because
probably
somehow,
all those
that many since Lost started.
Somehow they're blessed numbers. The only person who didn't play those numbers. Damon Lindelof himself. He said he would never use those numbers to play the lottery.
Why?
Because he's a nervous flyer.
Oh.
And he said, what happens if he wins the lottery and then the next time he's on a plane, what do you think happens?
Oh,
that's right.
If one thing starts coming true in that show, a lot of things could start coming true.
That's a good point.
Are we losing him?
Next thing you know, Jacob could choose him to watch the island.
Smoke monster.
He's got to go down inside the Well of Souls or wherever that thing was, and the light comes out. And John Locke's walking around, but it's not really him. You don't want that to start happening.
Wow, that's true.
It's hard to be a single parent. It's hard to be a any kind of parent. But it's particularly hard, according to Neil Patrick Harris, to be a same-sex dad. Here's an aspect of it that I never gave any thought to until he talked about it to Us Weekly magazine. The star of How I Met Your Mother said that he and his partner David Burka now have fraternal twins. And the one thing you don't realize is when you're two dads is how do you feed your kid breast milk?
I did it.
Baby's got to eat breast milk. You breastfed your kids.
No,
that's very cool of you. You have to go to a breast milk bank.
I didn't know there was such a
thing.
There
is a milk bank where women who are producing breast milk will sell their milk. And they freeze it and put it in a bank, and then you can go and make a withdrawal.
Huh.
Here's the thing, though. It's enormously expensive.
I'll bet.
Breast milk is pricey.
Yeah.
He says they charge a fortune for it, Neil Patrick Harris does. It costs more for breast milk than sushi, says. There's one thing gay guys know, it's sushi.
That's true.
Now, why go to all that trouble? I guess he must think that there's some healthy value in breast milk versus, you know, the million other kinds of formulas that are available.
He doesn't think that. It's a fact. It's a scientific fact that breast milk has...
But aren't there millions of kids out there who were raised on formula that are fine?
That are fine, but you get a health advantage with breast milk.
Bean, you've never had to encounter that group, the pro-breast milk group.
They're pretty hardcore.
If you're not breastfeeding, you're a Nazi. That's how they are.
Well, there's La Leche, who believes you should breastfeed until they're four or something. I mean, there's some people who are crazy with it, but it's scientifically proven that, especially in the early couple weeks and months of life, the breast milk provides immunity builders and things that you just can't replicate in formula.
Even if it's from someone who's not your mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Breast milk has hormones and antibodies and things that formula can replicate, the caloric intake and the proteins and that kind of stuff for the food value. But there are additional values of breast milk that you just can't get anyplace else. So if you want your kid to get a good start, they say it's ideal, at least for the first couple months, to give them breast milk. So I guess that's what they're trying to do.
See, this is a topic way out of my purview, so I'm very interested in hearing about this. Thank you for that.
You are a purview, by the way. I've always said that about you. Speaking of pervs, congratulations, Psycho Mike. Get your agent on the phone.
Okay.
HBO's just announced they're working on a new comedy series called Muscle, about bodybuilders.
Thick, meaty, juicy.
Play that again.
Interesting. Interesting choice.
Yeah.
It was, I thought it was appropriate.
Thick, meaty, juicy.
Talking about bodybuilders?
It is, but if it could start or finish normally.
What? What's wrong with?
Thick, meaty, juicy.
Or
you can play it in a space where no one is talking. That might be a good option, too. Bodybuilders and the gym culture and a hilarious new comedy called Muscle. Psycho Mike, I think it's right up your alley.
Muscle.
You can spend time with your fellow oiled up, shaved.
That's what they'll do the whole time. Hey, can you shave my back?
Hey, can you oil me?
Can you shave me
and oil me and then wax my hinder? The rest of you people all looking in mirrors of the narcissist community can get together and have hilarious comedy. It's on HBO.
Oh, okay.
I don't see how that could be funny, but I mean, HBO has a pretty good track record with their series.
They do. That's true.
Trust me, we laugh at you and your workouts all the time, Mike. It's very, very funny. And in reality TV show news, it is official. Khloe Kardashian and her husband, Lakers forward Lamar Odom, will be getting their own reality TV series on the wildly popular E! Television network.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We'll follow them through all of the things that they do that are interesting.
That Ryan Seacrest Productions is certainly the trademark of quality, isn't it?
Man. Look, can't blame them. They keep churning out this crap, and people keep watching it.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Those Kardashian shows are among the biggest programs in the history of the E! Network, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how big they are.
And they cost nothing.
Yeah, E! Is becoming the 99-cent store of television, where they're just making enormous profits off of peddling garbage, and it's working. They've just given Chelsea Handler yet another show.
Wow.
Besides her show that is about her show, now she's producing a show with two people from her show, where they talk about pop culture. It's Heather McDonald is a writer from her show, and Ross Matthews, who was Ross the intern on Jay Leno, that flamboyantly annoying gay guy. The two of them will sit and talk about the day's events in pop culture. Finally, E's going to cover some pop culture.
How many shows do we need where people sit and talk about pop culture? Honestly,
like not that many. Not that many.
We don't need all.
No. Just need Hollywood Babylon. That's all you really need.
That's it.
That's not the only one you need. Yeah. And lastly, Robert Pattinson has got a new movie in the works. He's going to star in a movie called Cosmopolis.
Okay.
Where he will play a 28-year-old financial wizard and billionaire who's trying to make it to a hair appointment in the film.
That is not the plot.
That is going to happen.
That is not the plot.
That is going to be a movie. Nope.
That's a subplot.
A movie about a guy who's trying to make it to his hair appointment.
That's not true.
What's more shocking is the co-stars in the film, Paul Giamatti and Marion Cotillard will be his co-stars in that film.
What?
You're having a laugh.
I am not having a laugh.
You're making this up.
I'm telling you the truth. This comes from The Hollywood Reporter. Robert Pattinson trying to get his hair done. Finally, the movie we've all been waiting to see. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Malcolm Young of AC/DC, the guitarist for that band. He is 58 years old today. Comedian and actor, British star Rowan Atkinson is 56. Director John Singleton is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Congratulations to our Vail, Colorado winner, Ruben Salas of La Puente. You could win at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:08.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. From Celebrity Rehab, our friend Dr. Drew in 1 hour. And then coming up in the final hour of today's Kevin and Bean Show, psychic Char Margolis will be here.
I'm seeing something with a B. B. Something with a B. Ah, bullshit. Geez, why don't you guys just book a wizard next time? It'd be just as authentic.
I would love to book a wizard.
Some courtesy for our guest, please.
That'd be great.
From time to time, we give ourselves a second chance. It's a feature we like to call, Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
So we started doing this a couple of years ago when we realized that a lot of times we try to be funny and we fail miserably. And given the opportunity to go back in time, if we could, and apologize to the listeners for what we put them through,
right.
we would take that opportunity sometimes.
Our intent is good. We're trying to be funny. It doesn't always work, unfortunately.
Correct.
Sometimes it's worse than others.
Bean.
Although Bean has none in today's segment.
How about
something's
that?
Something's gone horribly wrong then.
Zero. You know who
Someone's
has...
Someone's not paying attention.
You know who has two in this sesh?
Who has the sesh? Psycho Mike?
Psycho
well,
Mike.
There's no surprise there.
Yeah.
That's Bean in training right there, Psycho Mike.
So here's
my resolutions for the new year. Step my game up with the take back.
You have to consider a bunch of different things. A, was it funny? B, timely at all.
Yeah.
See what our audience get it. I mean, there's a lot of that kind of
stuff.
You
know it when you see it. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. So here's the first thing. This is Ralph. He's talking in showbiz about the Mega Millions.
Yes.
Okay.
Big lottery. Anybody win the Mega Millions, by the way? Mega Millions lottery? Anyone?
Yeah, we're here, right?
Two tickets were purchased.
To Paradise?
That were...
file.
Wow. Wow.
Two Tickets to Paradise is an Eddie Money song from...
1978, I want to say.
Or late 70s.
1978.
But here's the thing. I didn't say there were two tickets to which you could, you know, piggyback to Paradise on that. I said two tickets were purchased to Paradise?
Right.
You know, like it's not even coherent. It doesn't roll together. It doesn't work.
If it was good timing, it should be taken back.
Would you like to take that back?
So, yeah. Kevin, your argument is even if it was brilliantly delivered, it's still a freaking Eddie Money song from 30 years ago, so don't bother, right? All right, let's see what Psycho Mike says. Mike,
you're willing to take that one? Take that back.
Yeah, that one I'm taking back.
All right.
Yeah. You are taking it back.
Okay. How about that?
And I apologize.
Show some wherewithal.
Oh, you're going to apologize
that
as well.
Can we have it in writing?
All right. This one is Ralph. And
let me show you how it's done, people.
I think some things get better with the longer they go. And that's the case with this particular one, because after the first joke that Ralph makes, I want to punch him in the face.
Right.
But he keeps going.
And then you want to hug me?
Yeah, I want to hug you. All right. So here it is. We're talking about live at Madison Square Garden. What was that? It was
Bon Jovi.
Yes.
The Live at Madison Square Garden CD by John Bon Jovi is available. Finally, you can get that live Bon Jovi album you've been waiting for. I don't care for him.
I don't either.
He gives love a bad name.
Oh, my God.
Remember, what was that? What was that?
It's his life. Don't get me wrong.
File.
But all I'm saying is he's living on a prayer as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
File.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
The first one, I was mad, but you kept going. You hung in
punches
there.
Punches and bunches, my friends. You got to throw the combination.
Would you like to take that back?
No, sir. That was a knockout. That was a knockout.
No.
Knock out.
Wow. All right. Not taking it back.
Nope.
All right. Ralph was talking about Toni Braxton. Toni Braxton is an R&B singer, and she's going to have a reality show with her sisters. And I was saying, she's hot. Toni Braxton is hot. If her sisters are that hot, I would watch that show.
Uh-huh.
And this is, you have to listen very closely for Psycho Mike in the background, because he doesn't say it loud enough for anyone to hear, just to interrupt. You hear that something's being said, but you don't hear what. But then Ralph reiterates what he said, just to make sure that everybody heard.
Perhaps it's also Toni trying to regain her own career.
Okay.
Helping Tracy, Tawanda, Trina, and Tamar.
If they're as hot as she is, I'm going to watch that show.
No, you're not.
They're
not.
You're
not. And you're not. They're not, and you're not.
All right, I'm out then.
They're phony, Braxton? Is that what you said?
That's what he said.
Is that what you said?
Put it in the file.
I missed that.
Put that right in the file.
They're phony, Braxton.
He's so proud.
He is. He's laying on the ground.
And by the way, as we're playing it back here for consideration to take back, Mike is equally happy with himself.
See, because her name is Tony Braxton, and they're phony Braxton.
Yeah. Because so, you were saying if they are up to the level of
we understand,
Tony Braxton,
we get
I'm saying they're not up to it. They're fakers. They're phony Braxton.
Would you like to take that back?
Hell no.
Really?
This is a big plate of phony Braxton.
You're standing by that.
Yeah.
Listen,
I'll do an Anita Faker if you want me to.
All right, put that in the file.
Put that in the file for next time. And our final one involves a celebrity. We were talking to Michael Jackson in heaven.
Yeah, nice.
And he tried to be funny. So I believe we have Michael Jackson in heaven now.
All right, let's dial the hotline to heaven real quick. Mike, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, yeah, it's Kevin and Bean, buddy. How are you?
I'm surprised. I didn't think we were scheduled.
I know, we weren't, but we're doing a feature called Would You Like to Take...
Here.
What are you doing?
I'm making harps.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know you had that job. All right.
Yeah.
We're doing a feature called Would You Like to Take That Back, and Kevin has a piece of tape he's going to play for you, and then we need you to consider whether it was a good idea for you to have said that on our air the first time, okay?
Well, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the show that was going to air in Britain that was a recreation... Of your autopsy.
Right. Disgusting.
Yeah, yes. It was going to be a recreation of your autopsy.
On the Discovery Channel, right?
On the Discovery Channel. Yes, I think that's been set up now, Mike.
Okay, here we go.
It's been fully been set up now on the Discovery Channel.
Now, so what about the what you heard us talking about, the Discovery Channel UK, talking about doing a recreation of the Michael Jackson autopsy? That's just a horrible taste, right?
That is just so horrible that they could even think of doing that. I don't want to do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
You don't.
Oh, God. File.
Baby, we're just a couple of mammals.
And that is the lyrics, Mike, you're doing from a Bloodhound Gang song from how long ago?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Would you like to take that back?
I was just speaking from my heart.
You and me, baby, that one. That's the song you were quoting.
Can I hear some more of that?
We're nothing but mammals. Come on. You have to admit it and accept it and take it back.
I don't have to do anything.
Take it back.
No, I'm dead. I can do whatever I want.
That's true.
Would you like to take that back?
No.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well,
you are making
moves. I told you. I had to get back to work now.
Okay. I'm sorry. We didn't mean to interrupt, Michael. Thank you very much for talking. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. A hilarious new show called Bob's Burgers debuts on Fox this Sunday night. We'll talk to actress Kristen Schaal. She does one of the voices on the show. By the way, I don't know if you got a chance to see any of it. It looks very funny, Kevin.
Very funny.
Part of that new animated block they have on Fox on Sunday nights. And it's a great fit with American Dad and Family Guy and whatnot. Anyway, we'll talk to Kristen all about that coming up. First, though, my girlfriend Taylor Swift back in the news. I love her so much. I know I'm too old to like her music, but I just love her. I think she's awesome. She won, of course, a Grammy Album of the Year last year. She's got the number one album in America this week. She won a People's Choice Award last night, and I'm sure that means a tremendous amount to her.
Sure.
And one of the things about Taylor Swift is that every guy that she dates, she ends up writing a song about. So when her album that's in this, you know, that's the big hit right now, when that album came out, people were going through it going, well, this is a song about when she dated John Mayer, and here's a song about when she dated Nick Jonas. I mean, if you tick off Taylor Swift, she's going to write a song about you.
Yeah. That's all of them? I mean, basically, you could reference almost a guy to every song?
Pretty much, yes.
Wow.
That's the
She's
thing about...
She's a whore.
I don't know about that.
How often does she put out albums? Like every other week?
I don't know who this one is about, but this is the kind of lyric you get if you date Taylor Swift and then somehow do her wrong.
All you are is vain and a liar and pathetic and alone.
That album and you go, come on, what did I do?
But that's also like you're in second grade.
Yeah.
I mean, really, all you are is mean and liar and you can't think of anything else, so you go back to mean.
It's supposed to be like poetic a little bit,
you would think.
Well, I don't know. Whatever she's doing, it is working for her because she's one of the biggest recording stars in the world.
Still with that?
Is that a hit? Tell me that's not a hit.
No, they haven't released that one as a single. That's just a track from the album. But for the first time ever, Taylor Swift joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Taylor. How are you?
Hi, y'all. Good morning. It's just such an honor to talk to you this morning. I can't believe you had me on your show, but thank you so much.
Well, we're happy to have you on. Congratulations on all your success. But what about what you heard us talking about when you're on hold there? What about this way that you go out with a guy, and then if he doesn't open the car door for you, all of a sudden you have to eviscerate him in a song? What's that deal?
Well, look, when you're my age, a lot of times you do a lot of maturing when you go from album to album, and I admit that it might be a little immature for me to have written those songs, like Mean, the song you played a clip
That's
from.
That's pretty childish, right?
And although I still like to write about my relationships and my personal life, and I use that as a jumping off point, I feel like I've gotten less bitter and I've matured a little bit, and I kind of, in a weird way, regret writing those songs, even though they are a personal reflection of who I was at the time. I was so young, you know?
I'm glad to hear that, because you've been in the news also this week, because you and Jake Gyllenhaal, the actor, you guys have been going out for a few months. It looks like you've broken up, and I hope that this is going to be an opportunity for you to maybe just walk away and maybe not, you know, tear him down just because he didn't work out.
Well, I am in the studio right now, and I have to admit I've written a song about Jake, but like I said, I feel like I've matured as a songwriter. I'm not as petty as I was before when I used to write songs about, you know, Nick and John Mayer and things like that. Would you guys like to hear?
Yeah.
You have part of it? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this is called Jake Gyllenhaal.
All right.
Ready, Jimbo? Hit it. Jake Gyllenhaal has AIDS, small penis. And he's a Nazi, and he hasn't paid his taxes in seven months.
No, you should
investigate him, and he eats a lot of poo-poo. His face is made of doo-doo.
Taylor, listen.
He has cooties, too.
All right. Come on. That's just so immature, though. You can't just make stuff up about somebody because you're mad at them. Come on.
Didn't you say, though, that you felt like you were being less petty?
I gotta worry about myself. As a songwriter, I gotta be concerned with me as a person first.
Okay, but maybe you shouldn't be dating right now. It sounds like every emotion is just too raw for you. Maybe just be single for a little while.
Hold on one second. Like I said, I'm here in my own private studio.
Okay.
The paper boy just came by again.
Okay.
I told you to throw it on the porch. Okay, if you can't... Son of a bitch. All right, I just wrote a song about the paper boy. Hit it, Jimbo.
What?
Paperboy has a meth lab. He club seals a lot on the beach just to pass the time. When no one's looking, he eats his boogers.
Okay, listen. Oh, this is just because you missed the porch? That's why you did that?
Now I'm on a roll. You know, earlier today I ordered a soy caramel macchiato, non-fat, no whip. And what did I get? I got a regular milk from a Moo Moo in my coffee, and I got a lot of whipped cream slathering. Hit it, Jimbo!
Oh, no. Oh, come on. You can't be a song about that.
The barista runs a far-reaching sex slave trade that goes all over the world. He probably killed Tupac.
Oh, come on. You're making stuff. That's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. Did he really kill Tupac?
Why not?
That's a good question. Just ahead of actress Kristen Schaal in a moment here from Bob's Burgers. But first, how about tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show? How about the freaking Coen brothers on the show?
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome,
right?
Can you see? I mean, there are very few people in Hollywood who make movies that I can think of that we as a group admire more than the Coen brothers.
I watched Fargo again over the holiday, and it's fantastic. Those guys have such a touch.
Yeah. I saw No Country for Old Men again over the holidays and couldn't believe how great it continues to be. So the Coen brothers joining us tomorrow, talking about True Grit in theaters now. We'll talk to G4's Kevin Pereira. He's at the CES convention about all the new technology that will be is on display there this week and will be rolled out in the years to come. Jay Moore, one of the best comedians working today, joins us in studio tomorrow. And Matt Money Smith will be here to talk about the NFL playoffs and more. Plus, it's the Movie Beat and LaQuisha reviewing Jersey Shore. All of that tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So come on back, won't you?
But don't think we're shorting you today. No, don't feel like today's not as good a show because we do have Kristen Schaal on the phone.
Nice.
Yes. Kristen, how are you, my dear?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Last time we had you on, you were promoting your best-selling book, The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex, but now you're back on TV as a voice on the new Fox animated series called Bob's Burgers. And I don't know what makes you think animated TV is going to make a comeback. I don't know what makes you think that's going to work. People are going to watch freaking cartoons at night, but good luck with that.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
I think this is really great that that Fox has decided they're just going to make their Sunday nights an animation block.
Yeah.
Sit back, relax, check your brain at the door.
Listen, mm-hmm. That's what I do daily. I don't have to.
Now, of course, we know you, you know, as an actress from Flight of the Conchords and the movies that you've done, Dinner for Schmucks and Get of the Greek and stuff like that. But, and we know you as a stand-up comedian, too, but have you done animated voice work before, or is this new for you, too?
No, I've been around the block. I did Toy Story 3 and Shrek Forever After.
But anything we've heard of?
Simpsons.
No, not ringing
no,
a bell.
I don't, no, not familiar, but okay. I mean, go ahead and keep that in your resume if it makes it look better. That's fine, too.
It seems to me like it's the best gig ever. Like, you show up for 10 minutes a week.
Oh, well, that's actually, for Bob's Burgers, we showed up and sat together in the studio as an ensemble for about 9 hours and improvised with each other.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's
I
a
see.
Lot of work.
That's interesting.
So I had to actually dress up out of my pajamas to do it.
They made you dress out of your pajamas?
Yeah, they did.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now,
you're not on camera.
I recognize some of the other names that are voices for Bob's Burgers, and then in a minute we'll talk about the premise of the show. But Dan Mance, he's a comedian, right? And, of course, Eugene Merman, also a comedian, right?
Right.
Okay. And how about some of the other people? H. John Benjamin, John Roberts. I don't know those names. Are they
John
also?
John Roberts, Supreme Court, I believe.
Oh, the same guy from the Supreme Court? That's awesome.
Yeah. He had some time, and he was a big fan of the scripts. So we had John Roberts come down. I mean, they're not doing much anyways. And he's also a comedian. Everybody's a comedian. And H. John Roberts is also a comedian and the voice of Archer.
So you work off a script, but only loosely. You just pretty much try to work it out with in a room with all the people.
Yeah. If we go on a flight of fancy, they're recording it. So
right, all right. Now, Bob's Burgers, we can all agree, terrible title for a show. Tell me what justifies that name.
Well, we wanted people to whenever they bought a burger to think of our show.
Okay.
And burgers are really popular. And I was supposed to say, too, that they're giving away free burgers today at Fat Burger. If you want to go down there, you can get a free burger right now.
Is that true, or you're just supposed to say it?
No, it's true. Okay. They're telling me it's true. The guys in the suits.
All right.
Now, is that everywhere in America or just in a specific city or state?
What? Four cities. In, which one?
Four cities.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay.
New Jersey and Chicago.
All right.
I pulled those four out of
it. All right. Someone's making something up.
That very popular city, New Jersey, that we all have heard so much about.
Yeah.
So Bob's Burgers, for folks who have not even seen the promos yet on Fox, I mean, it's about a family running a burger joint, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You summed it up. Yeah.
All right.
You know, and lots of crazy hijinks happen. They learn lessons. You know, they fall in love, they fall out of love,
sure.
They eat burgers.
Yeah, there's a lot of burgers.
All I know is on the premiere episode this Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox, one of the daughters on the show, your sister on the show, does have an itchy crotch, and that's a very funny recurring theme. But let's play a clip. You'll hear Kristen Schaal first voice out, I believe, from this Sunday's Bob's Burgers on the Fox Network.
All right, quiet down, everybody. Quiet down. Shut up. This is a burger from my family's restaurant, Bob's Burgers. You might think it's easy to pump these puppies out, but it's not. The burger business is a battle zone, people. First, there's the health inspector.
This is my violations notebook. I just filled it. It took 5 minutes in your kitchen.
That sounds bad.
It's a record.
Yay! Shut up.
So it's good. It sounds like there's a lot of fluid coming out of your mouth while you're doing that character.
Oh, yeah, I'm drinking.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, the show looks very funny, Kristen. You feel good about it? I mean, is there an office pool on how long it'll last, or are you pretty committed to this one?
You know, I don't believe in anything lasting in this business, but my fingers are crossed that I'll have enough money to donate a large sum to some sort of religion.
That sounds like an excellent use of funds. Bob's Burgers airs this Sunday night at 8:30 on the Fox Network. Kristen, you know we're huge fans of yours, as always. Thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin and Bean.
Thank you, Kristen. Bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us after the top of the hour talking about celebrity rehab and whatnot. I don't know if you guys saw last night's episode, but he almost got mad. Dr. Drew almost raised his voice.
I don't know how he doesn't get mad every single episode.
He's the most even-tempered guy in the world, but there was a flash of anger, just for a flash, and then he was able to
contain
it.
Do you think he's going to turn into the Hulk and just destroy everyone?
Oh, he's so
swole. That's why he's so swole.
Rip out of his clothes and just start tearing people apart?
Anyway, so we'll talk to the doctor coming up. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
We've got tickets to give away. Passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Green Hornet, happening at the Grauman's Chinese Theater January the 10th.
2011!
It'll be in theaters Friday everywhere, January the 14th, but you'll get to see it before anybody else if you're lucky. Caller number 5 right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. And I personally will give you a pair of passes to the world premiere of Seth Rogen and Jay Chou in The Green Hornet.
Can't wait.
I won't personally give them to
you. No, you're not going to. That was a lie.
Probably Sony Pictures probably give them to you, but, you know, I helped. Michael Jackson's been dead for a while, yet the vultures are still circling. His former manager, Frank DeLeo, has just announced he is writing a tell-all book about his relationship with Wacko Jacko.
Fantastic. He was his manager for most of his career, right?
Yes, he was.
Fantastic.
Why is that fantastic, Kevin?
Because isn't there a lot of weirdness going on with Michael Jackson?
Yeah, and we know that. It's just like the guy's dead, and it just seems...
What, are you going to hurt his feelings?
No, you're not going to hurt his feelings, but...
I want to know the weirdness. He's one of those people that you think has volumes and volumes of stuff that no one knows about. Don't you? You're not interested in that?
Not really.
You're a communist.
No. Frank DeLeo says he won't hold anything back because the truth has to be told.
Well, that's dumb.
Does it really? Does it have to be? Is the truth out there, Mulder? Are you going to let us know what's going on with the real conspiracy and the shadow government and the smoking man?
The truth doesn't have to be told.
Doesn't have to be told. You're trying to make a buck, you weasel. At least be honest about it. Of course, it's fine for you.
I'll get my buck.
Yeah.
Is that what it costs?
No, I think it's going to be more than that. Yeah. Everyone's got their list of favorite and least favorite films of all time, and NASA is no exception. NASA has rolled out their list. Well, I guess now that they're not building spaceships anymore, they got time on their hands. So they put together their list of the most realistic and least realistic sci-fi films of all time.
Most realistic and least realistic.
Okay. Yeah. Here are their list of worst and best sci-fi films in terms of realism, scientific realism.
I'd just like to cut off any problems here, possible problems. Right. Bean knows the list. Just hold on.
I'm sure he does.
I don't know the list. I've not seen this.
All right.
Worst sci-fi movies. 7th on the list. It's a list of 7, which is odd, but...
Okay.
What the blank do we know?
Never even heard of that.
Nope.
No. I think that was a documentary.
It was.
About... Okay. Go, Bean.
Kevin tried to
cut him off in the past, and it just doesn't help.
I will say no more.
The 6th day. That's where things happened. Remember?
On the sixth day
when that happened. Chain Reaction was 5th. Volcano was 4th. That was pretty funny, that volcano one. The volcano spurts up like right in the middle of Central Park or something.
And I remember
Pierce Brosnan has to run around. I believe it was Dante's Peak. There was a couple volcano movies at the same time where...
I think Volcano was Matthew...
No, that was... Armageddon was 3rd on the list.
Crap.
Yeah, that was scientific.
I like that
scientifically,
movie.
It was laughable.
It was stupid. It's a bad movie, and I love it.
The Core was 2nd.
I don't
know why. Core. That was pretty funny, too. But the worst sci-fi movie ever.
Can I guess? And I have a real guess.
I would love to have your real guess.
Jason X.
I know you love that one. I know you bring that up quite
it
often.
It is absurd.
He was rebuilt by nanobots. Completely feasible.
Little ants came together.
Little feasible, Kevin. Very feasible.
The best death scene in Hollywood history.
Yeah, where he crushes his face into ice.
No, he freezes that bitch and then walks her over the room and then smashes her into pieces.
Come on, Jason X. That's one of the worst movies ever.
No. I have a real guess.
Okay, real guess.
Mine was a real guess.
Either Logan's Run.
No, that was awesome.
Oh, it's a great movie.
And it was realistic because you go to Carousel when you're 30 and your hand explodes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or, I forgot.
No, that one. Yeah. That's the second one.
I had a good one.
Thanks for speed bump. 2012. 2012
oh,
was ridiculous.
Yeah.
They had to set up a separate website at NASA just to deal with the rumors that the world was going to end.
And that's worth mentioning that we're not talking about worst movies. We're talking about least scientifically accurate,
oh,
right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's what NASA's talking about,
that
isn't
makes
it?
Sense.
Well, according to NASA, that's what makes a bad science fiction film.
Could it happen?
There are a
or
bunch
not.
Of science nerds who sit there and look at the screen and go, oh, that would never happen. So
right.
I cannot enjoy this film.
Right.
So ridiculous. Most realistic films in terms of the sci-fi genre, Jurassic Park was seventh on their list. They said absolutely could happen. You could have DNA that was trapped inside of amber, and you could take that DNA and clone creatures from it
All right.
in the foreseeable future.
I hope that does happen, by the way.
Me too, because that went really well in the movie.
Yes, we need more velociraptors running around, I think. The Thing from Another World from 1951, classic science fiction movie. The Woman in the Moon from 1929.
Don't know these?
The Day
that's
the Earth...
That's just holding a grudge, by the way, if you're putting a 1929 movie on your list.
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
No, these are the good ones,
Bean. No way.
Yeah, that was a great one.
That's
the
great
original.
Movie.
The 1951 version.
That
was great. Metropolis, 1927 silent film.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
You've seen that. You've seen the robot from that. The female robot with the cone boobs. You've seen her.
Okay.
Yeah. Contact. Jodie Foster gets messages from outer space on those big SETI dishes that they pick up the radio signals on.
She ends up on a beach someplace, right?
Yeah.
With her father? I don't know.
And Gattaca. Gattaca was number one.
Huh.
That was a cloning movie or something?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So that's who NASA likes. That's what NASA likes right there.
All right.
And that's what they're doing instead of sending men to Mars, right?
Yeah, well, they got no money.
They have the internet and time on their hands.
They can barely afford to go to the movies over
NASA has literally thrown their hands up and said, F it.
They have to pool their money just to get their Netflix account paid off every month. They're sitting around in a room full of old computers with those giant wheels on them, you know, those big tape reels. That's all they got left. They're sitting around watching movies from Netflix.
You know, I was so surprised. The only one I would have bet money on being on the best list in terms of realistic sci-fi movies is Apollo 13. Or does that not count because it's a true story?
No, that's not a science fiction film.
No.
It's a science fact film.
That's
a biopic. Today's celebrity birthday is Malcolm Young of AC/DC is 58 years old today. Actor-comedian Rowan Atkinson is 56. Director John Singleton celebrates his 43rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
NFL playoffs begin this weekend. A lot of people are curious with the outcome of the Eagles game because of their personal feelings about Michael Vick. We will discuss coming up in about 50 minutes or so right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
I can't find my Arizona Cardinals. I can't figure out who they're playing.
Oh, really?
I was looking through the schedule, and it's just hard to
find. They're playing the Cowboys.
You're playing Mike's Cowboys, exactly, yeah. Once a week, we talk to our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky, host of Celebrity Rehab, and also he claims a real-life medical doctor. Hey, Dr. Drew, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Gentlemen, Happy New Year to you.
Last time I saw you was at the Acoustic Christmas concert back in December, and so it's been like 3 episodes of Celebrity Rehab since we had you on, and I feel like I'm bursting at the seams wanting to talk to you about so much stuff that has happened, but man, you weren't lying when you said this was the most explosive season yet.
It really is intense. But before we get into talking about that cast, I just wanted to sort of point out that after I heard Donna talk about you and your Xanax habit the other day,
I got a new patient, right?
It's going one of two ways. It's either Heath Ledger or Celebrity Rehab for you, Bean. That's it.
Those of you that didn't hear, Bean fell down the stairs on Christmas Eve and took 2 dog Xanax, which apparently are like giant pills, and he passed out.
That was powerful stuff, Doc. I got to tell you, I did fall asleep with my face in my plate of food.
Well, and not only that, you were complaining about shortness of breath. I thought, oh, my God, it was almost a headline. Oh, my God.
Before you ask, no, I don't want to be on Celebrity Rehab. Thank you very much. Anyway.
But can you write me a prescription for dog Xanax?
Yeah, exactly. Now, where do I start? Here's what I love, and this has really been a recurring theme of every season of Celebrity Rehab, but in particular this season. The patients like Frankie Lanz and Leif Garrett and all the patients this year, they know more about how to get clean than you and your staff do.
Right.
Walk me through the mindset of how you're a medical doctor who's been treating addicts for decades, yet somehow you're wrong and they know what's best for them. Where does that come from, doctor?
You got to understand something. That is not just unique to addicts. I mean, think about how many people tell their doctors, you know, what they should be taking and what's really wrong with them. And they delay coming before they go and get any sort of alternative kinds of treatments because they know what's best. That's sort of endemic in our culture, but nowhere more so than addicts. Addicts, because they're in denial, because they don't really want to get better, because they want to sort of do it their way and continue to use some way. You got to remember, their brain is in a state where not doing drugs literally is the same as dying. I mean, that's the same biological message they get. It's not doing drugs is a demise.
So in a perfect world for them, they would learn to live with it.
Well, they learn to do it, get by with it.
Right.
It's okay. And you got to remember, there are paid people. I don't get involved in the casting of this show, but I do hear stories about some of the people they're talking to. And there were people that, there were celebrities, I can't tell you who, but were only going to come on if, on the condition that they could come on and tell me how to do my job.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Now, there were, these, we got
awesome.
Some good ones on the show. There were ones that couldn't, we could, I said I'm not going to treat because they just weren't even open to it.
Was it Nick Nolte that said he was part of the doctoring team?
I didn't get Nick on the list, as far as I know, but the
no,
fact
somebody
is,
did. Somebody on the show.
It was
who was it?
Gary Busey.
Gary,
yeah,
Busey.
Gary Busey.
He would tell everybody, yeah, they brought me in. I'm one of the doctors. He was crazy that way.
And then, but that was a little bit of a distortion. That's different than, you know, patients are going to, you know, like Jason Davis sat and told me what enabling was and stuff. And you know, this group was very frustrating. It was very frustrating.
All right, what about the people? And again, I go back to the same two I just mentioned, Frankie and Leif, on the current season of Celebrity Rehab on VH1. Frankie can't wait to get out of rehab so she can drink non-alcoholic beer. Leif Garrett wants to order a beer just so he can hold it in his hand and see how it goes. How? Yeah. I mean, are these people just trying to figure out how close they can get to the line and not relapse?
It literally is, their brain is going, I miss it so much, that would feel so good if you could at least come up near the alcohol or near the drugs. And then they want to argue about what they have a problem with, which is really the scary thing. I mean, poor Leif, his friend nearly died because of his relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
And you should know that this is not uncommon. Both what Frankie and Leif did is not uncommon at all. And they flirt with it, and they think it's going to be okay, and they can get by with just this or that. And many times we have to tell them, all right, go out and try it. Try it your way. And then we see them back in a couple
but
months later.
But haven't they tried it their way before 100
times? And
that's
why they're in rehab.
But haven't they been in rehab before?
Sometimes it's true. Sometimes they have.
How many people, Dr. Drew, in all the seasons of Celebrity Rehab, what percentage would you just guess have been in rehab before they came to this rehab?
On Celebrity Rehab?
Yeah.
It's actually a relatively low number.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the extreme. In a usual rehab, it's not a low number. But in Celebrity Rehab, you got to remember, people come into Celebrity Rehab that are sort of, yeah, they have an idea that they need help, but they're there to get paid and make money
right.
And on TV. And in spite of that crazy, skewed motivation, our outcomes have been amazing. I mean, I wouldn't have believed we have done as well as we did. People have been getting sober. I mean, what you saw last night was Tom Sizemore and Mike Starr showed up as a panel to show the current group how well they were doing. I mean,
well,
which is shocking.
I know we've been trying to get Tom and Mike sober for 10 years.
Yeah.
You do it on TV, you motivate them properly, you pay them. Suddenly they're willing to do it. It's a crazy thing, but we've sort of found something very interesting here.
We talked about on the air, off the air a little while ago. Mike and I were talking about how we never thought we'd see Mike Starr or Tom Sizemore alive, much less sober.
Right?
I mean, yeah, there are some people you write off instantly. You just say, never going to happen.
Yeah, I wrote to Mike off, I mean, excuse me, Tom off a long time ago. Tom is a guy I care deeply about. And even he, I don't know if it came through on TV, but he was at that little panel was going, can you believe it? I got sober on Celebrity Rehab. I did. That's how it works.
Hey, that's what the LA Times said this past Sunday as well.
They were, yeah, that was a glowing, it was a glowing report.
Do you think it's that motivation?
Hold on 1 second.
Oh,
would you like to respond to that, Dr. Drew?
Well, just the LA Times, if you notice that article, I refuse to speak to them. They are the only news outlet in the world I will not speak to. I'll speak to the Star and the National Enquirer and TMZ, because when I talk, they record what I say. When I report to the LA Times, they distort and they mislead and they take things out of context. I really am stunned at how shoddy their journalism is. So I just stopped talking to them.
All right. I'm sorry, Lisa. Go ahead.
Lisa, you had a question.
Oh, I just wondered if you thought that the extra boost for people on the show is that idea that they're not just doing it for themselves, but that they actually have this opportunity to inspire so many people.
That's what they kind of report. First, it's, well, I'm getting paid and I'm on TV, so I'm going to finish the job kind of thing. So
right.
They stay longer than we can work them harder than the average patient. But they usually, toward the end of treatment, will start saying, you know, this really was something. This changed me. And I think this is important. I'd like to share this with other people. Jeremy London, the graduation of this group, I hope it goes on TV because I'm not involved in the editing or anything. But he said some things that were really moving about how he thought he came in to do a job. And he came out with his life back.
Wow. Mm.
Do you have a pretty good sense, Doctor? Can you guess as your patient, celebrity or otherwise, are walking out the door, which ones it's going to take with and which ones are going to be back?
I tell myself I can, but the reality is I can't. I mean, the bottom line is if they do everything I tell them to do, they're going to get sober. Right. But I'm still, in spite of people that don't do what I tell them to do, I'm still sometimes very surprised. So because of that, and because of these amazing recoveries I see sometimes, I have hope for everybody. And that really, even I look at myself on that show and go, wow, where'd I get that patience?
Yes! How do you not punch people? That's my question.
Hey, well, you actually almost got mad at Leif Garrett last night. You actually said, I'm disappointed. And that's about as angry as Drew ever gets.
That's step before he turns into the Incredible Hulk and just busts out of his clothes. Oh,
his big, massive, robust pecs.
All right, let me ask you one more thing, Doctor, because you had a very tantalizing teaser for next week's show where you're sitting there in front of Jason Davis, he's Greasy Bear, right, Mike?
Yes. Yes.
He's Greasy Bear. He's a socialite.
Gummy Bear.
He's Gummy Bear. All right. He's just a rich socialite kid who's just destroyed his body. And if I saw correctly, you said to him that he has the body of an 80-year-old and he's in his 20s, right?
No.
He was actually a guy at theater that told him that, and I told him I agreed.
Wow, and what's happening? Are you trying to get him to leave rehab and go into a hospital to try to get healthy? Is that what the gist of that was?
Yeah, I'm trying to get him to go to an ongoing, intensive, long-term program like Springbrook or Hazleton.
I don't know what those are.
Cirque Lodge.
I don't know what those are.
These are long-term treatments, really high-quality long-term treatment centers. Actually, Jason had been at one of them before, and I was trying to get him to go back because he really needs more treatment. I mean, his life depends upon it.
That is a perfect example of a guy who I size up as, no way, don't waste your time.
Well,
thank God I'm not the doctor.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But I mean, that's my reaction to him.
I can understand that, but I don't lose. I keep hope for all my patients, and there's things I can do for him, and I'm going to do them. And the problem is, he won't let me. That's what makes me frustrated.
Dr. Drew, real quick, especially like in a case like Jason Davis, don't you think it's also the synergy of profound addiction, and then also these underlying trauma that happened, you know, in his youth, that sometimes even he's not aware of until you take these drugs away.
Absolutely. I mean, Jason's got a ton of other stuff that he's got to get into, but we can't even begin to get into that stuff until he's been sober a while, because if you dredge up some of that stuff prematurely, it makes him go back and use.
Right.
But it's a delicate, you know, by the same token, if we don't get to that stuff, he'll go back and use.
But so I'm saying, my point is, you could probably help five other people if you'd cut him loose. That's what I'm saying.
That's not how it works when you're a doctor.
You
can
feed five other people if you cut him loose.
Celebrity Rehab airs Wednesday nights at 10 on VH1. A terrific hour of compelling television. Dr. Drew, always a pleasure to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Man, have a great week. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Have
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
And I think it's time for a little Suck It Phillies.
Suck It Phillies.
Yeah.
Suck It Phillies.
NFL playoffs begin this weekend. Ralph, who your Eagles got?
They're playing the Green Bay Packers.
How you feeling about it?
Packers on a roll. They are hot at the right time of the season. The past couple weeks, they have looked strong. They have no running game, but Aaron Rodgers is playing lights out at the quarterback position. Their defense is tremendous, so it's going to be a difficult game at best.
How's your defense?
Should be a good one. Defense is shaky.
Okay.
You know, inconsistent. Some games they play great, and some games they don't show up at all. So.
Well, you've got something to look forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing the Saints win by about 28 over the Seahawks on Saturday. So I've got that going on this weekend.
Shouldn't be in the playoffs, the Saints.
We're going to be talking to Matt Money Smith all about the playoffs tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
But the reason we bring it up today is because there's an added component to when you're talking about the Eagles, because they've got you know, clearly one of the best quarterbacks in the league, Michael Vick. I mean, he's having an unbelievable season. As good as he's ever been, I guess.
Better than ever.
And a lot of people are saying, and there was a terrific cover story in Sports Illustrated last month, a lot of people are saying, hey, are we ready to welcome Michael Vick back as a full-fledged hero, bygones be bygones, with the whole, oh, I don't know, running a dog-fighting ring thing? And, Ralph, you follow this more closely than I do because you're involved in a lot of Eagles stuff, but, I mean, that chatter, I mean, even, you know, most of the, you know, even at the end of the regular season, there are still people who are talking about it, right?
Yeah, it's insane, the amount of press and attention that this particular felon in the NFL is getting, and I think it's largely from people who A, don't know much about the NFL, or B, are
most of the players
are people who put dogs above humans, and there are people out there who are just fanatical dog lovers, and because this crime occurred with dogs involved, they become irrational, and this is a hot button subject for them, and they get very passionate and very emotional, and so it garners a lot of attention.
It was heinous. But he served time in prison. He lost a ton of dough. He what's his? Does he have like a house allowance now and a car allowance?
He lost all of his money. He lives now in a rented place, and he gets a certain allowance. But the majority of his money, his fortune, whatever that was, is gone. And he did spend 2 years in a federal penitentiary for his crimes. And there are people, some people believe he shouldn't be allowed to come back and make a living in the National Football League. He shouldn't be allowed to do that.
That's
weird
to me.
He should work someplace else, or he shouldn't be able to work at all, or it runs the gamut from people who believe he shouldn't be allowed to play football to people like Tucker Carlson, who said on national television he should have been executed.
Well, I do have that clip.
Because let me hear that.
That clip was a little odd, a little over the top, perhaps. Explain who Tucker Carlson is.
He is a pundit, a right-wing pundit who was on CNN for a while. He was on Crossfire. He had that show, and now he has his own show. I guess he was sitting in here on Sean Hannity's show on Fox News.
Okay, and then they were playing the clip, and then he was responding to it?
He was guest hosting, and they were talking about the Michael Vick controversy.
I'm a Christian. I've made mistakes myself. I believe fervently in second chances. But Michael Vick killed dogs, and he did in a heartless and cruel way. And I think, personally, he should have been executed for that. He wasn't. All right. Do you really want him? Do you really think he should? No.
All right. Now that's Sean asking him later.
That was
the
original clip, what he actually said. And then they brought him back on the Sean Hannity show, played that clip for him, and said, how do you feel about that clip?
So he started by saying no.
The hyperbole? This is what happens when you get too emotional. And I did. Look, the bottom line is I'm a dog lover. I'm uncomfortable with the death penalty under any circumstances. Of course, I don't think he should be executed. But I do think what he did is truly appalling.
Yeah, well, that's very different from saying he should be executed. And maybe if you don't believe that, you shouldn't say it on national television.
We're gonna take your telephone calls on Michael Vick if you have an opinion at 1-800-520-1067. Where do you fall down on the gamut of opinion that you've heard about? Either full-fledged, I've totally forgiven him and it's a non-issue, and yeah, absolutely, let him quarterback and let him be in the league and Godspeed, or he should be executed. I mean, I think there's a lot of points on the compass in between there.
I'm fascinated by, to me it seems like the options are hate and don't support, or support, and then maybe don't care in the middle. But he can't play football is a weird thing.
Well, I think here's what
don't
I think.
Don't allow him to play football again. Doesn't even make sense.
By the way, I am a dog lover also, but I don't think I'm a crazy fanatic about it. I am
questionable.
I am of two minds on this story, and here's why. I completely understand where Ralph and people who feel like him are coming from. It's an extremely defensible position. Intellectually, the man went to prison. He did his time. He came back. He's got a right to work. This is America. We're about second chances. We're about forgiveness. He seems sincere. He hasn't done anything that leads me to believe that he's at all involved or interested in dogfighting. In fact, the opposite. He's an advocate against dogfighting now, and I think that's tremendous. That's the intellectual side of me. The other side of my brain, though, the emotional side, says the guy's a monster, and he spent years torturing hundreds of dogs, and that's unforgivable, and I can't look at him on a trading card or on a commercial or in the Super Bowl and be happy for him, because I don't want to see that person happy because of what he did.
And Bean pointed out something that I thought was really good, which is when you talk about putting animals above dogs, it's not that.
Animals above humans.
Yeah. I mean, if someone is drunk driving and kills someone, that's horrible. It is not the same as systematically torturing people or dogs over years. That is a different kind of person. One is a totally did a terrible thing, and the other is you're really an awful person.
What about killing people? What about stabbing people to
Fine.
Death?
Fine, good
well,
with that.
Is that okay?
All good.
I said torturing people or torturing dogs. But that's a different thing.
What about repeated drunk driving after you've killed someone to repeatedly get arrested for
drunk
driving?
I still don't think it's
driving.
The same thing.
Well, no, because it's not
dogs. Because you're in the grips of alcoholism and you're not thinking straight, but I just don't even know how someone could do that.
The point is that there are people in the NFL who have killed people.
That's happened.
And there are people in the NFL, working in the NFL, who have raped, who have assaulted women, who have threatened the lives of police officers, who have been convicted of felony assaults, multiple felony assaults, multiple drunk drivings after killing someone with their automobile. There are histories of a lot worse crimes and worse offenders, and by some accounts, worse people in the NFL than Michael Vick. But they don't get nearly the attention, nor, when people hear about the stories, the uproar
that it gets when you're talking about dogs with some people.
And I think that goes to what Lisa's saying, is that as not to equate the humans versus the dog's life, but you're talking about in most cases a 10-second mistake or even an intentionally killing somebody versus doing it over years, hundreds of times. And I think those are two different kinds of people.
Well, now we're talking about Chicago Bears defensive tackle Christian Peter, for example, who was arrested 8 different times on various offenses of violence towards women. Who was picked up by the New York Giants right out of college and spent 8 years in the NFL with various degrees of violence towards women charges hanging over his head.
Michael Vick should be allowed to electrocute him.
Wow.
Okay. Now, how's that for an answer?
I like it.
But no one says, "Oh, I could never root for the Giants when Christian Peter was playing for them." That's what I'm saying. These people who are talking about Michael Vick, the only reason they're talking about them is because that's the one that gets all the press, and no one else is outraged by any of the other behavior in the NFL, which is, in any given season, about 20% of the players in the NFL have arrest records, some with serious, serious violent offenses on their
Well, you can't blame people for only having an opinion on the ones that they know about, though. I mean, if that's all they know and they don't know the other stories, you can't really get upset with them for not knowing
I'm not upset with them. I'm saying
it's inconsistent.
It's indicative of their ignorance and hypocrisy more so than it is the facts of the situation.
Says
when people
the Eagles
react that way.
Fan.
I know, I felt this way about Michael Vick before he ever joined the Eagles, before the Eagles signed him. When he first got into prison, they were talking about him coming back to the league.
Yeah.
I said, look, the dude did a horrible thing, but he did the harshest penalty I can think of any player in the NFL doing for any crime. He paid his due. He paid his debt to society.
Lost all of his money.
If he can right the ship, if he can get his life together, I don't have a problem with him getting a second chance and going back to work. I don't have a problem with that because I don't look to the NFL and say these guys are role models. These guys are people that we should hold up to us on a certain pedestal, that they should be held up in certain esteem. I think they're entertainers. They're people who just play a game for a living that I like to watch, but I don't think there's any morality attached to that profession.
You need to pattern your life after anyone.
These guys aren't becoming teachers or priests, or they're not working in the public service in any way. They're just playing football, and I don't equate any certain morality that has to be attached to that profession.
1-800-520-1067. Your calls. What do you think? We'll take them right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Talking about Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Michael Vick in the playoffs this weekend. Have we forgiven him? Are we moving on? Here's an email from Joel. Hey, guys, I think Vick will have done his time if he sits out one more game this Sunday. I'm from Wisconsin. Go Pack.
I'm sure he will. Yeah.
So let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. What about, let's try Sarah maybe to get us going here. Line 3. Sarah, hi. Thanks for hanging out. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
Good morning, Kevin Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hi there. What do you think about Michael Vick?
I think that he should have served a much longer sentence, and I don't think he should come back to the NFL.
Based on what?
Because think of all of the 100 of helpless dogs that he killed, that no one's going to take a stand for them.
Well, I think that the 2 years and taking all his money away was the stand.
And first of all, he was never convicted for actually killing any dogs.
So okay, of all of the helpless dogs that he made kill or fight each other.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I understand what the crime was, but there are people in the NFL who have killed people who have served no time and lost no time on the field either. So you don't think he served
either.
Enough time compared to what?
Why haven't they served time?
Because, for example, Leonard Little, who ran over a wife and mother when he was drunk driving, went through a red light. He served 90 days in a work release program. So he'd go to jail at night, but during the day he was on the football field. And, you know, then he was in the Pro Bowl the next season, lost no time on the field. So,
and, Sarah, thanks for the call. We're going to put down one for not ready to welcome him back. Thank you very much for the call.
For the confusion, this wasn't a statewide thing. He got mostly busted for traveling with these dogs over state lines.
It was a racketeering charge.
Well, that's how they were able to bust him.
I'm just saying, that's why he did federal prison. And so, you know, these people are saying, what about DUI when you kill someone? That's a state-by-state thing. So Michael Vick was in a federal prison.
What about Anthony on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Oh,
okay, thanks very much. We would have loved to have spoken with Anthony, but someone in his car has a potty valve. So apparently that's
a little road rage on the passenger side.
That was awesome. Whoever was just talking to us just got cursed out in a major way.
Let's talk to Frank. He'll have the final word on this because we're almost out of time. Wow. Psychic Char Jackson.
Margolis.
Is going to be joining us after the top of the hour. Frank, we're going to give you the final word on Michael Vick. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you? Hey, good. Lisa, man.
Hi.
Hi. So the issue that I see is I think Vick has done his time. He's he's definitely done his time. He's lost all this money. I want to remind people that, back in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina happened, you had a lot of people, and you're hearing a lot of stories about people that were sending private planes and private helicopters out to New Orleans, but just to get the dog, not the people, or just to get the animals.
That's true, right?
They were.
And so I think when you hear that when you see something like that, I think it's very indicative of how, our country feels about animals. Obviously, I'm a dog lover, and I love dogs just like the next person, but I think the man's done his time. He's, he's paid his debt, and I think we should all just move on.
But he shouldn't have flown to New Orleans and gotten the dogs.
I don't think he's saying he did, Kevin. Oh. It's a different situation.
Got it.
I appreciate the call. I will say one thing on the argument of, and again, I agreed with you, Ralph, completely intellectually. I accept that legally he's a free man and he has served his time and he should be allowed to go to work. I get that. But I also think, again, not to equate people versus dogs, but I also think when O.J. Simpson was acquitted, none of us went, well, I'm welcoming him back now. He's a good dude. I guess I was wrong because he was acquitted because legally he didn't kill those people. So now I should put him in commercials or I should put him in movies or I should be happy for him. You still had the same gut feeling about the dude because of what you know he did.
But Michael Vick wasn't
legally
acquitted.
He wasn't.
Right. He wasn't acquitted and he didn't kill any people.
No. But what I'm saying is, I'm saying the argument of, legally he served his time or legally he's free from the justice system, it doesn't automatically change the way you feel about the person.
But it does
That's
change how people feel about these other NFL players who they seem to have no problem playing.
Well,
ourselves said, if it's like a 10-second mistake you make, if you're under the influence of alcohol or
I
something,
do think right. it's
and you kill a person, that it's different than killing a dog. So in that case, OJ should be considered he had one brief moment of rage and he happened to kill those people.
And that's my point, is that nobody felt that way. Nobody said after he was acquitted, nobody said, then OJ's a great dude and I welcome him back and he should be everywhere. You
Lisa
know what I mean?
Did.
Because
Lisa
you still have
that.
A gut, you still have the same gut feeling about the person regardless of how it played out in court. That's all I'm saying.
But I'm saying there's a lot of people who have done a lot more heinous things to human beings who are playing in the NFL with no one bad
than I.
But did they go on to be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles?
No, they did not.
All right.
So you're saying that's his real crime?
That's the crime right there, yeah.
Oh, it's about to get so crazy in here when Char Margolis comes in after the top of the hour. She's a psychic, don't you know? So anything you've ever wanted to know about anything, you're going to be finding out. Coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show, now Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening, Ralph?
I could use a final score for your Eagles-Packers on Sunday.
No, let's ask her. Let's ask her
that.
Then.
Lay down a little cashish.
There you
make
go.
Make a little scratch.
Hey, let's ask her if she knows so goddamn much why she's not in Las Vegas cashing in every single weekend.
Maybe she doesn't swing that way. Maybe that's not how her gift works.
All right, we'll find out.
I don't think she's a future reader. I don't think she tells the future. She's in contact with the other side, right? The spirit world?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. I don't think they know what's going on in the future either. But, if she's got any friends on the other side who can, help throw a few miracles down on the field
sure.
in Philly on Sunday, maybe that's the way to go.
Help some people trip.
Couldn't they knock the ball out of Rogers' hand when he goes back to throw a pass or something? All right, let's talk showbiz. Before I do, I've got passes to give away to the world premiere of The Green Hornet at Grauman's Chinese Theater on January the 10th. You get to go before anyone else sees the movie. It's coming out in theaters everywhere on Friday, January the 14th. But if you're caller number 5 right now at 1-800-520-1067, you get to see The Green Hornet. Not only that, but you get to see it with Seth Rogen and Jay Chou and Cameron Diaz and Christoph Waltz, who plays the bad guy in the movie. You get the whole star-studded cast there on the red carpet at the world premiere of The Green Hornet. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067, if you'd like to go. Interesting romantic news in the show business world. John Mellencamp, who recently filed for divorce from his smoking hot model wife, Elaine Irwin. One of my favorite models. Even before she started working with, before she was married to him, I was a big fan of her work. You saw her, you'd know her. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. Still does cosmetic commercials, as far as I can tell.
All right.
They're splitting up because he's got a new girlfriend.
Fantastic.
Apparently, got a new girlfriend. He's moving up to a new model. You know how it is, fellas. You know when you're a rich rock star and you decide you're going to get yourself something a little hotter, a little sexier, a little more exciting.
Trade this one in, get
That's
a
right.
newer model.
That's why John is currently dating Meg Ryan.
What?
What? Huh. Nope.com.
Meg Ryan. Who should be featured at a cosmetic commercial for what not to do to your face.
Meg Ryan looks like his wife, Elaine Irwin's mother.
She is...
Wow, maybe...
She looks like an old duck. That's what she looks like. So she must have something special.
She knows tricks.
She must have a vagina that can yodel. That's what I'm guessing.
I'd be pretty entertaining.
I don't think I'd trade up for that.
I would.
I don't need your lead.
That'd be awesome.
Meg Ryan 20 years ago was a super good deal.
Even then, at her best,
not so much anymore.
She was sort of cute. She was sort of girl next door cute.
But didn't she seem like really great to just
seem likable and
cute, and then like
great?
Yeah.
Well,
really
I'm going to go have a beer with Meg Ryan, and then I'm going to go home to my smoking hot supermodel wife. 20 years ago, now I'm not even having a beer with her.
No, I'm with you. I'm down.
She's had some bad plastic surgery too. It's not a good move on her part.
Donkey punch.
Anyway,
she's good at that.
John, as long as John's happy. That's all that matters.
Screaming. Porpoise.
He does that as well.
I hope this doesn't affect his art, because all those Mellencamp records have been so great lately.
Me too.
What's gonna happen?
No. What's happened to Jack and Diane in the sequel? You need to hear that soon. Jason Segel has had a long life dream come true. He currently writes and stars in the new Muppet movie. Directs as well. The new Muppet movie, and he said...
Did you say a dream come true?
He's a huge Muppet fan.
This is his passion project, Kevin. He's been wanting to do this his whole life.
His whole life he's wanted to do a Muppet movie, and now he's got the chance. And he said to Us Weekly Magazine when he was on set, and Kermit came out and started reading lines that I wrote. I cried. I'm not embarrassed to say it.
Pussy.
Started to cry when Kermit said the words that he had put down on paper.
That's
magical.
Weird.
Psst. It's just a piece of cloth with a guy's hand up its ass.
It's not real?
It's not real. It's not even the real guy. He's dead.
It's the real
somebody
guy.
Doing the voice of the guy. Jason, it's okay. And Camille Grammer isn't too happy being one of the desperate housewives of Beverly Hills. Apparently, she is not happy how she is coming off on the show. It's not, it's not like how she is being portrayed on that show. And has got her lawyers to work. I'm trying to wiggle her out of her contract.
Really?
Camille, who suffers from irritable bowel syndrome, says things are different now that she's a single mother, now that her and Kelsey are getting divorced, and she has no desire to be on the second season of the show. So, I can think of a way she can get off that show.
This?
Just saying. Probably clear a room.
This one would.
That's what I'm
this
saying.
This would clear a city.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Malcolm Young of AC/DC is 58 years old today.
By the way, you know, we talked about how Bon Jovi had the biggest tour of 2010.
Yeah.
AC/DC number two.
What?
Yeah, wow. Still huge on the road.
Wow.
That's shocking.
It is shocking. Rowan Atkinson, British actor and comedian, is 56 years old today. And director John Singleton turns 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. This hour tomorrow, by the way, we'll have the Coen brothers on talking about their latest hit film called True Grit. And we'll also be talking to our friend LaQuisha as she reviews the season premiere of tonight's Jersey Shore season 4. So that's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show during this hour. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, she's one of our favorites. We welcome back psychic Char Margolis to the Kevin and Bean
Thank
Show.
How you. Are you? Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
I'm happy to see you guys.
Great to see you as well.
Thank you.
Char has been a guest on our show frequently over the years. She makes up so much interesting stuff that we just keep inviting her back.
No, this is really weird.
It's like I got everyone believing I talk to the dead people. I mean, what's that about?
This is really bizarre because we all vote on what guests we're going to have and what guests we're not going to have.
Oh.
None of us believe that what you do is real.
Really?
With all due respect.
Maybe Lisa does a little. I went in there to say hi, and within, I don't know, a minute, she'd come up with my dead father's initials and name, yes. Yeah. Far less than a minute,
but
actually.
Then I gave details about your people. I don't want to say your
people I know with health issues.
Health issues and stuff like that.
But then let me finish the story.
I mean, it's kind of amazing.
So then we talk about our audience and what they might want, which we rarely take into account. And in this particular case... People go crazy for you.
That's
it doesn't
kind.
Matter at all what we think.
But Lisa, let me ask you in particular, my dear.
Yes.
If she amazed you with coming up with that stuff, just being in the same room with you. She came up with stuff there's no way she knew, right?
Right.
Okay. Then why don't you believe?
It's not that I have an open mind. Let's put it. I have an open mind to it.
Here's the deal.
I don't know for sure, but it's pretty impressive.
Thank you. I'm not trying to convince people to believe. The reason I do this work is as an example of what everybody else owns within them, and it's your own intuition. And everybody has it. And sometimes it goes against all logic and all common sense.
My intuition is always wrong.
Well, it's not. No, I honestly, when was there, wasn't there a time where you wanted something, a business deal, a romance, whatever, your gut said, don't trust it. You did it anyway, you suffered the consequences, and you did not listen to your intuition, and more important, you did not act upon it. That's why I do this. That's why I come here for all my ridicule. And
well, we ridicule because we don't believe.
But, and because we love, by the way.
Or because we love, right.
All right, but let me ask you this, Char. And by the way, Media Mondays are happening at infinitequest.com.
John
if you want to connect. If you want to connect, oh, is he part of that? Is that his thing?
Well, not the psychic, John Edward. Not the one who was not in Elizabeth
right.
Will.
Right, you know, right, right.
I can hear Elizabeth now going, na, 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 na.
The psychic John Edward, right.
Yeah.
Is January 10th at 7 o'clock Pacific time. You can go to infinitequest.com to connect with Char, and her website is char.net.
That's now, on Media Mondays. This is BS Thursdays.
Right. Okay. Kind of beach show. We were talking a few minutes ago about how you about how you talk to the other side, about how you see dead people. But do you also do predictions? Like, we're at the beginning of a new year here. Do you get a feeling on, hey, 2011 is here, and here's what I'm likely to think happen?
I get projections. So, not predictions. I see projections for 2011 and beyond.
What does that mean? Give us an example.
I'll give you an example. Like, I see, because of the economy, and you can say this is logical, but I see more crime going on, more break-ins. People have to be more careful with security around their homes, around their cars.
But
you'll see that that's going up.
Right, but that...
And I know, that can be common sense. Well... Not necessarily, but I really see a lot more of it.
Okay.
And, you know, in 1999, I did a pay-per-view special, and I said, what I'm really worried about in the new millennium is terrorism in our country, and the government better shape up the airports. Well, I don't believe that they've shaped them up. They need smarter tactics, even though people are complaining about it. I still think things can get through. And the other thing is that I feel that weather is going to continue to have unusual patterns.
But I could say that.
Well, yeah, you could.
Give me something specific.
Go ahead and say it.
Give me something. You know, weather you can't predict. Sometimes it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Well, and clearly there's been bizarre weather all across America. I mean, as cold as it's been.
It's going to continue like this is what I'm saying. You know, like think when you were a kid and you walked to school. It was just different.
Do you ever get any kind of a sense about who's going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to be elected president, what celebrity is going to die? I mean, does any of that stuff ever come to you?
I don't really predict death, but the one thing I can say is I feel Angelina Jolie is going to be very involved with political things, not run for office, but make a difference in helping those less fortunate.
And I feel she's going to be involved in a lot of little kids. I feel that. That's my second prediction, is that Angelina Jolie somehow is going to be in a room with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
But you have to narrow it down. Everything you've said is so vague.
You know what? Here's the deal. If I read for somebody who is the president, I mean, I've read for like some really powerful people that I can't tell you because I've written, you know, confidentiality statements that I can't tell you. But honestly, there's more people that believe in this than you even know. I've been doing this for a long time.
I know you have.
I don't
doubt that. What kinds of powerful people? Like business people?
Yeah,
politicians?
Well,
actors?
Politicians, actors, presidents of TV networks. I mean, I have read for some of the most famous.
President of the TV network has like a back entrance and they bring her up and like put a coat over her so no one sees.
Kind of.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, I've signed confidentiality statements for people. I've read for royalty that the Enquirer magazine would pay me, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for. I've read for government officials, but it's my work is about helping each individual. And as I said, it's about me being an example of what you all have. And I will continue to do this till the day I pass over to the other side. And I can't wait because I'm going to come haunt you guys.
Wouldn't that be funny? If she like targeted us because we were non-believers.
Remember last time when I was talking about the electrical stuff going bad because spirits play with it and then we couldn't get back to Bean?
I do remember that.
Okay. I
got dropped. That's right. Yeah. All right. Psychic Char Margolis is here again, char.net. January 10th, 7 o'clock on infinitequest.com. Or there's a live group reading coming up in Southern California at Yamashiro. That's on Sycamore Avenue in Los Angeles. That's on January 20th. You can get all the details about that appearance on her website, char.net. We're going to take calls coming up next from our listeners. By the way, every line, Kevin, already booked.
Okay.
Haven't even sold for calls yet.
Wait, I also have a testimonial from Charles, who I read for the last time I was here.
Wait,
in
Charles
that little booth.
Security guard?
Yep, he said everything I said happened. So
wow.
That's what he said. So if you want to get a testimonial, and it can be from Charles.
Does it support you?
I like. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was very nice that he did that.
He he drinks though, so honestly, we can't. All right. So, what are you going to need? What are you going to need from the callers when we come back?
I need them to be open minded about everybody's names, living and deceased, and
information.
Just, yeah, and not just not just concentrate on one thing they want to know. To be open about everything, and we'll see what the
do you need date of birth or any of that kind of stuff? Or?
No,
you don't. Okay,
no.
All right.
Oh,
thank
she's
you.
That good. Screw those. I'm not a psychic.
Who
need date of birth.
I don't need to know when you were born.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. We'll get to as many calls as we can with our guest, Shari Margolis, right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. This is The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat one more time coming up. In the meantime, our guest in studio is psychic Shari Margolis. She's been doing it for a long, long time. I first heard Shari on the Larry King radio show. That's how far back I've been listening to Shari make her BS predictions, by the way. Shari.net for details on this Monday's webcast and live Los Angeles appearance. You can buy tickets for it. Again, Shari.net. All right, we're going to go to some calls. We're going to take as many as we can here,
stands for best selection.
Right. Absolutely. Of course, that's what I meant. I thought that was understood. All right. So you don't need birthdays or anything like that. You just get a vibe from the person.
I just need people to be open-minded about everyone living and deceased around them.
All right. All right. So we'll just take as many calls as we have time for. Richard is going to get us going. He is on line one. Richard, thank you for calling and holding on The Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Shari.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? How's it going, Lisa May?
Hi.
Hey, Rich. Hey, Richard. Okay. I see somebody who's a John or Joseph. Who is this?
John or Joseph.
Jingleheimer Schmidt?
With that.
Or is there a J person connected with you?
Yeah.
Is that a female?
Or a female, yes.
Is there an N in her name?
No.
Or an L in it?
No, my wife does start with an N, though.
With an M?
With an N.
N.
Uh-huh. Is there like a Nikki or Nicole?
Yeah.
Okay. Has she been upset recently?
She's been in pain.
Yeah, I
aren't all wives upset?
No, feel she needs another opinion.
On
is she getting another opinion?
Her
about
medical
this?
Issues, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know she, we just had a daughter, so she's having some pain from the C-section that she had.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I feel she's going to be fine. But I was concerned about that. And who is there? A Jody or Judy or Joyce?
There's a Julia.
Who is this?
This is my sister-in-law.
Is she deceased?
No.
Maybe she is now. You should check.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you talked to her?
You need to call her.
Did she break up with your?
No.
They're still they're together.
Yeah, they're still together, yeah.
Have they had problems in their relationship?
Not that I know of.
Okay, all I'm saying... Okay, look it. I don't know. All I can say is I feel that there's some communication problems with them, and they need some help. And who else is Robert or Richard?
Richard is actually my wife's grandfather.
Who's deceased? Who's deceased, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's showing me that you're opening a new door for career or business.
Yeah.
And that you're going to do really well with it.
Okay.
Are you a drug dealer?
Now, why would you jump to that,
wait,
Kevin?
Wait,
I'm just asking.
Because it's our audience.
Because you can do really well with it, and it's our audience.
Okay,
just ignore these guys.
Okay.
And this is true about your new business or career path?
Yeah,
you're going to really be dynamic with it. You just need to, really put positive energy out and be confident and proactive and do great marketing, and you're going to do just fine.
Okay.
What's with the truck or the new car?
I don't have time for the truck.
I was thinking about buying a truck. I've been looking for one, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's cool. That is cool.
All right. Thank you.
Richard, I'm sorry, we need to move on.
So nothing but good news for Richard. His wife is going to be fine. His business is going to be fine. New truck sounds like a hoot. And then the only thing is he's got those other relatives who are having troubles. It's not his problem. So well done, Richard. All right, let's try Melissa, line two. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You are on with psychic Shari Margolis.
Hello.
Hey, Melissa. I see somebody that's an A or M connected with you.
An A or M, okay.
Which is it, A or M? I mix those letters.
I have a fun name. Well,
don't
I have
say names.
Yeah, my daughter is Madison.
Did she say the name?
Yes.
Madison.
Her daughter
don't,
is
don't
Madison.
Don't say names.
Don't say the name.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. Now, is there a new school around her?
Possibly, yes.
Okay, because are you you're not happy with the one she's in?
We're looking for change for her.
Yeah, well, you need it. And I feel that... I don't know if there's tutoring or I don't know if she excels in things or whatever, but she needs a better learning environment.
I'm sitting in front of her school right now, and she is possibly going into a more artistic type school for acting and stuff.
Should Melissa go get her right out of school right now? Sure.
Yeah, no.
Should that happen?
No, I think it's really a good idea for you to do this. And who's the S or C?
My other daughter.
Don't say that. Is it an S?
Yes, S.
S-A?
Yes.
Like Sarah or Samantha?
No.
Sarah? I don't know the name. But did you already change her school?
She's been begging me to.
Yeah. I see a change with both of them, but I think that the SA person is going to... I see you doing it because she wants to, but the grass looks greener on the other side. I don't know that she'll be as happy once you do.
Okay.
So don't move her.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
there you go.
You.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for the call. All right. Do we have time for one more?
Let's squeeze in one more.
Okay.
Okay. Let's make it. Let's go with a chick because I like it when they cry. Let's try Rachel. Rachel's on line 4.
I like it when they cry.
Char Margolis. Nothing makes me happier. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the Kevin DeBeat Show. Say hi to Char.
Hi.
Hey, Rachel. I'm feeling somebody who passed away young around you.
Okay.
Do you have somebody, like, family that or friend that passed away young?
Yes.
Is this a male?
Yes.
Okay. His spirit's with you.
Okay.
And is this family to you?
No.
But a close friend?
Yeah.
Did you like this person?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay. And I feel that you called me because you wanted to connect with him.
Okay.
And that he wants you to know he's at peace, he's okay. And he's showing me an R or B.
All right.
Is that a male R or B?
R would be me. Could be anybody.
Okay. And then there's a J or G.
All right.
Is there a J male?
Yes.
Is it J-O?
Yes, there is.
No.
Is it J-A? I can't hear him.
J-A, yes.
Like James or Jack or Jason?
Yes.
Jason?
Uh-huh.
Who is that?
My stepfather.
And he's living?
Yes.
Wouldn't it save us a lot of time if they just gave you the names?
No, yeah. It would be a lot easier.
Because they already know that. They don't need somebody to name their family members.
I see him retiring or changing his work. Did he do this?
No.
I see a retirement or change of work around him. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, and here's the deal. Thank you for trusting me. I don't know who this male is that passed, but I feel it. Tell me the truth. Did you call me to connect with that person?
No.
Okay, but you did know him?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
But you have a question about you. Ask real quick.
I'm concerned about family finances.
Is that with the stepfather?
No.
This is somebody else.
Yeah, that's just with my immediate family.
Turn to crime. Char says that's going to be up this year.
Yeah. You know what? I honestly feel that you need to make major changes with everything, with career and everything. There needs to be a major change.
Okay.
You have to completely clean house and reorganize. That's my gut about this.
Jobs are so easy to get right now that you're going to be fine.
Okay, now, this is what I want. You guys, thanks for letting me come here to be ridiculed. But everybody who's listening, if you believe in your guardian angel, if you believe in your own intuition, I want you to call this station today.
No.
I want you to call the station.
Why would you do that?
Because.
Char, I thought we were friends.
If you have gut feelings, if you have stories about spirits who have come
do
to
not
visit
call
you.
Call the station.
Yes, call the station. If you've had spirits who have come to visit you after they've passed on, I want you to call here because this is not about me. This is about all of you listening to your own guardian angels and making your lives better by acting upon the guidance you're given. Thank you, guys. Happy New Year.
All right, look, they can go to your site, though, char.net.
Yes, char.net.
C-H-A-R.
Yeah, you can go to char.net for sure, but call the station.
Oh, I love it. You're torturing us. Nice
webcast job. Monday night on InfiniteQuest.com. You can buy tickets for the live show in Los Angeles, January 20th. And if you happen to be in the Netherlands, be sure to watch Char's highly rated primetime show now in its 11th hit season there. Char, we'll see you again later in the year, my dear. Thanks
okay,
for coming
my
in.
Pleasure.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:45.
It's Kevin and Bean show. It's time for the showbiz beat. I'm seeing an R. Am I seeing an R or am I seeing a G?
Oh,
R?
Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman.
I did it.
Nope.
I'm psychic.
Nope.
I'm psych. What? Why not? What? No.
That's not your name?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
I'm sensing a show and a biz.
You know, when you guys are on the other side.
I'm thinking beat.
We're not going to try to talk to you. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay, good.
You're going to be very lonely there.
Because we're doubters.
Waiting for somebody to check in. No one's going to have to talk to you because... You scoffed.
Well,
what do you
she,
want us to do?
She gets just enough right to make me think that it's not random, that it's not just throwing words and names out there. That's what's confusing about it.
Look, you can believe in the lady on the radio, or you can go to a big building and get on your knees and talk to a guy with a beard who lives in the sky. It's all the same, man. Whatever works for you. Whatever okay. works for you. You know, anybody can call BS on anything, but the answer is no one really knows anything.
I know
so
BS.
Whatever makes you feel good, man.
Yeah, BS.
Look, you're a religious guy who talks to the power and lives in the clouds, man. A lot
that's
of people
true. I
would
believe
say,
in God. That's true.
A lot of people say that's BS. Some people say I can't believe he buys into that.
Yeah.
So it's all about where you come from, how you were raised. There's a lot of things involved, but I don't belittle anyone for their beliefs. Whatever helps them get through the night.
It's fun to belittle everyone, though.
Yeah, but people need a little something else to hang on to. More power to them. Could be worse. Could be drugs. Could be alcohol. Could be gambling. There's a lot of other places people go for their fixes. If you believe it, you know, the spirit world talks to you or whatever, or that God's up there listening to your prayers, whatever you need to get through, man.
What have you done with Ralph?
I'm just trying to say.
All right.
Not saying, but
You're
I'm just trying
to say.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Before I do get to that, I'd like to give away some more passes to the world premiere of The Green Hornet. Happens at Grauman's Chinese Theater, January the 10th. 2011. And in theaters, do you need it on a more accessible machine? Or do you need it on a button that's easier to push?
No, I was considering bringing that in.
Oh, that would have been good.
Underneath it.
The Green Hornet theme.
Yeah. So I wasn't listening to the date.
Listen to that Al Hurt. Listen to that Al Hurt blow. Could that fat man blow the horn or what?
He can blow all right.
No, he could eat blow.
He blew with the best of them. Now I'm sorry I started it.
Oh, it's awesome. That is pretty strong, actually.
All right. All right.
It's in theaters Friday, January 14th. But 2011. If you're caller 5 at 1-800-520-1067, you'll see it before anybody else, and you'll see it with all the stars. So that's cool.
That is cool.
Make a wish. It's 2011.
Make a wish.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Make a wish. I wish that Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom would have their own TV show.
Oh, please don't say that.
Look at that. My wish came true.
Oh, no.
E! Has announced they're going to have their very own reality show because apparently the regular Kardashian show just wasn't boring enough. So now they have to split them up so we can watch each of their lives in minute detail.
Can you I just got my new cable bill. They raised the price.
He's very disappointed about that.
Wow.
Cost him more to keep E.
Boy, is that tangential. That is just barely connected right there.
That was a reach. Are they going to subtitle Lamar Odom?
I think they may have
because
to.
Because he really mumbles a lot.
He does sound like he's got a mouthful of candy most of the time you hear him talk, which
Micah,
may be true in this case.
Yeah. You're Laker boy. How's Lamar doing this season?
Lamar's actually playing very well. Even during the times when the Lakers were looking pretty bleak, Lamar's definitely in contention to be forward on the All-Star team.
But don't you get the same gut feeling that I do, like Chloe's going to ruin that somehow?
Yeah, you do, but you also get the feeling if you watch Lamar Odom that he doesn't. You also get the feeling that if you watch Lamar Odom that he doesn't pay much attention to anything else.
Yeah,
even when he's playing basketball, he's not paying attention to basketball. So I can see him just ignoring Chloe.
First episode will show Lamar shaving Chloe, apparently.
And then the second and third as well.
Then another one where he puts her in the stable at night and beds her down. I mean, it's a fascinating lifestyle, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Salt Lake.
Apparently, Chloe's brother Robert will also have a regular presence on the show.
Oh, good.
They threaten us with. So you got that going for you.
When does that start?
Let me see. It does not say when it starts. I'm assuming it'll be the fall. I guess they started shooting now.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, we got a while.
I'd like to do a commercial for pistachios.
Reese Witherspoon. Just because some tape is good doesn't mean you should just randomly play it out of context.
He's been waiting all day.
Maybe save it for a situation where it applies.
It's not me, man. It's Rodney. Come on.
Is it airtight?
It's not tight.
Don't do that.
Reese Witherspoon has found love again. It looks like her ex-husband, Ryan Phillippe, may be next. New York Post reports that he's got a new girlfriend, actress Amanda Seyfried.
Oh! Bunks.
Oh, she's awesome.
That is a win for him. That is a move up. Two apparently enjoyed a romantic Mexican vacation together over the holidays. I was surprised I saw a feature over the weekend on the internet about how many celebrities were vacationing in Mexico over the holidays.
How come?
Because Mexico is sort of a dangerous area to be vacationing in these days.
Yeah, but I don't think in the vacation part of it, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like saying the United States.
Unless they're going to Tijuana.
Dangerous. It's an enormous place.
There's not a lot of beheadings going on in the United States right now. It's a little more dangerous.
Point is that we're talking about a giant area.
Yeah.
Right. You go to Cancun or Puerto Vallarta, you're fine.
Yeah. Or are you?
For the most part.
Or are you? Is a good
holy sombrero!
That's right.
See, okay, that,
was appropriate. All right. That was okay. Neil Patrick Harris and his partner David Burka have a set of fraternal twins at home, and they've got some unique challenges being same-sex dads. Us Weekly magazine says the hardest one right now for them is breast milk. Where do you get it when you're two dudes?
You do it.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Good point, sir.
You do it. I did it last time.
Just go on a radio show and ask for listeners to come in and bring you their breast milk.
Yeah, I remember when you did that when you were drinking breast milk. Neil Patrick Harris, unfortunately, doesn't have that. That luxury, so they have to buy it.
Amazon.com?
Yeah. They charge a fortune, he says. It costs more for breast milk than sushi.
That is expensive.
Well, there's more fish than there are boobs. But now, they're lactating, I guess.
As I told you earlier, Ralph, I know nothing about this topic. So are there women who produce so much breast milk that they have leftovers to sell? They take what they need for their own kids and then they sell the rest? Is that the deal?
Yes.
Okay.
And there are women who continue to lactate after they're done raising their children, after their children are weaned, as they say, and go on to solid foods. They may continue to, you can manipulate your breasts. You can, use pumps and things like that, and you can keep your breasts. As long as the breast milk is being used, your body will create more of it. So you can keep creating breast milk as long as you, palpate the breast and keep it manufacturing. Those glands can be in use for a long, long time. Some women are surrogates, give birth to babies, and then the parents decide they're going to use formula or whatever, and the surrogate's there with full breasts, and so she can milk herself and sell that milk as well. So.
I sort of have a boner.
It's a lot of different venues for that.
Interesting.
Check it out. And, I'm out of time already. Look at that. Too much time spent on Lamar Odom's play and how to get breast milk. It really has nothing to do with show business whatsoever. It really is. It's very hard to get stuff out sometimes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Malcolm Young of AC/DC is 58 years old today. British actor and comedian Rowan Atkinson is 56. And director John Singleton celebrates his 43rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin DeBene Show tomorrow morning. You tell me if this is too big a show for us. It's too big for us to handle.
All right, let me hear it.
Too many things. LaQuisha will be taking
too
a look
big.
At... Tonight,
right there.
There's
too
a
big.
2 hour Jersey Shore.
2 hours.
Oh,
so LaQuisha will be on tomorrow with that. Comedian Jay Moore will be here.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Kevin Pereira from Attack of the Show and G4 is at the CES convention. He's going to tell us about all the new electronics.
Great.
Comedian Louis C.K.
Wow.
Movie Beat.
Wow.
The Coen Brothers.
Oh, come on.
Dude.
Okay, too much.
How about that?
It's too much.
You going to tell them you fell asleep during their movie?
Nope.
I will.
That's all.
I will.
Please don't.
I will.
That's
do
all
that.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin DeBene Show.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. There's an update on that, Rodney. It's Cat Corbett next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock right after that.